What's poppin'? We're in the DealsInTheD.com studios for another Drew and Mike show. Yes, taking you into the weekend with all kinds of excitement and frivolity. God, what an insane couple of weeks. I feel like it's been 9/11 for three months.
Yeah, it's been a lot of similar feelings.
I would say it's more like World War II. Oh, you're going to be in big trouble with those vets.
You're going to be in big trouble with the Never Forgetters.
Well, I thought 9/11 was pretty intense. It's been pretty intense.
So was World War II.
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
Thanks a lot, Bin Laden.
Today, the Dow was down almost 2,000 points. It's like, wait, what happened? We have an economy again?
Why was it down so much?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but I think, are they expecting...
Coronavirus?
What does that have to do with the economy, though? We're not shutting down. It's not happening. Steve Mnuchin said today, the economy cannot be shut down again, and they're indicating, in spite of all the great things in the last couple of weeks, that there are a lot of people are not going back to work.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think they realize that now. The other part is there's not going to be a lot of people out spending money, too, which hurts a lot of profits.
You know, honestly, I have to say something. When we shut down, I said, wow, that's really going to hurt the economy. And because how could it not? I mean, I was just looking at my little world and going, wow, you go from, you know, wherever you are to zero. That's pretty dramatic. And I just thought, that people are going to be fucked. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, oh, no, don't worry about it. It's going to be a V-shaped thing. It's going to be really quick, and everybody's going to be right back to where they started.
Yeah, guilty.
Well, I didn't realize
that everybody wouldn't do what they were told to do for a while.
I just don't know how you can shut down
really
economic activity for that long and not have there be some pretty severe response.
Who would have thought people still would be flying around?
Flying around?
Yeah,
oh, in planes, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, I know. So, yeah, so Steve Mnuchin said today, I really don't think we can shut down again. And then at the same time, in another part of Washington, D.C., actually, people were predicting 100,000 more Americans will die of coronavirus by September.
Yeah.
I think people are kind of tired of these death predictions because, I mean, it's not that hard to predict death. I think predicting exact numbers of deaths is pretty tricky. And, you know, that's a lot of deaths, no doubt about
it. Well, you get a calculator to solve it.
But why don't we protect the people that need protecting and focus more on that?
Well, let's figure out who they are.
We know who they are. They're old.
Yeah, and poor.
And they're compromised. They're physically compromised.
Well, I think that is the real answer as to why the economy is not going to shut down again. Because we know that they're old and poor.
Well, yeah, and we're not...
big contributors to the economy.
They're...
Well,
the people working... I mean, when you look at 25 to 54, that's the big demographic. If you're healthy and you're in that zone, there's not a reason for you to stay home for a couple months.
If you want to kill grandma.
You don't have to kill grandma. Why do you have to kill grandma?
I don't know. I just like saying that because it makes you mad.
That's the whole thing about it. Well, first of all, my grandma's been dead forever.
My grandma! But
just generic grandma.
Both grandmas have been dead forever. But, I mean, just to say, you go to work, you go to that protest in Lansing, you're going to kill your grandmother. Well, what if you don't hang around with your grandmother? What if you say, you know what, just in case I got it, you're a bad grandkid. I'm not going to go around my grandma. I'm going to go around your grandma. If I see somebody looks old and decrepit, I'm going to get away from them.
Yeah, well, then that's not fair. Then they're shunned.
Well, they don't have to be shunned forever.
My grandma!
It will be interesting to see what the, you know, after 10 years go by, how people look back on this period, because it's absolutely historic. We have never shut down the country. And we've never quarantined healthy people either. That's quite unique and different. And maybe it saved a lot of people's lives. I'll say about that. Anyway.
Quarantine people back during the influenza pandemic. They did.
Quarantined healthy people?
The virus.
Yeah.
When?
Yeah. Back
1918. Before electricity. Jim,
oh,
sorry.
Sonny, those Doesn't were crazy count. Times. We used to give each other wet willies and funny arms. We played dandy balls and legs are spread and penis butt.
We didn't quarantine anybody in 1969.
Penis butt.
Maybe they should have.
Well, I don't know.
It was those damn boomers partying at Woodstock and everything and spreading diseases. Yeah, and
just like they are now, right, Brandon?
It's true. It's unfortunate.
People do, I mean, the flu kills. I hate being one of those people.
Oh, come on.
The flu does kill 50,000 people.
Yeah, what's the death rate of that? 0.1 and the Stanford one you said yesterday was 0.25 for COVID. So it's still 1.5 times.
No, it's
right?
still a lot. But, I mean, somebody said it on TV today, and I was like, wow, I haven't heard it said so well. They were talking about this, you know, we can't shut down. We just can't shut down again because the cost is too big. And he said, hey, if you feel like you're too unhealthy to go to work, don't go to work.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's not an option for a lot of people.
Well, but I mean, if you think you're going to die, if you think it's going to kill you, if you really feel the percentages are so high, then I wouldn't go to work. But
what if you have, say, an elderly parent? And you would like to see them. You know, there's all those things. You're afraid of being a carrier.
This plague doesn't scare me.
I understand why people would be afraid.
I think there's been a little bit of drama about this. I'm not saying it's not terrible, because it is terrible. But, I mean, let's face it. Death counts in the top right-hand corner of your screen every day. It's pretty intense. I mean, it was a kind of a beatdown. And I don't even disagree with all of it. But, I mean, it's funny how
he didn't want to die.
It's funny how something else happens, and all of a sudden, nobody fucking cares. It's like, it can kill you! And then
Tom Hanks has coronavirus?
And for that...
That was the fun days of coronavirus, when Tom Hanks got it. Remember that?
Early coronavirus.
Coronavirus!
And for that, I give the protesters credit for saying, you know what? I don't fucking care. It ain't that bad. This is important to me, and I'm going to do it.
Goddamn coronavirus.
Now, we don't know what the results of that is, but...
Well, I mean, hey, we'll always look back and thank the Lord that we got this.
We both know that we shouldn't be here.
Yes. So, yeah, we did get a lot of audio from it.
I execute judgment on you, COVID-19!
Oh, I don't feel... I really feel that Nick Lachey should not be forgiven. He should not be forgiven.
He should have been canceled.
Has
he made a comment about the protesters yet?
Does he sing support a song them? About it?
If he hasn't, he's canceled. Get out of here.
Not aware of it. Plenty of that going on today, too. But first, Facebook Live. Are we on Facebook Live? We are.
We are, yeah.
Emergency Response Services Incorporated brings you Facebook Live. Southeast Michigan's fastest responders to your home or business, water extraction, drying needs. Who knows, after that storm last night, might be some of those people. Or maybe you had some water, and now you got some mold. Well, this is what they do. Call 877-JOB-DONE and stop worrying. 877-JOB-DONE. I like to pick up the phone. When something happens, I immediately, if I don't know who to call, I call Matt Riley because he knows who to call. Job done.
Yeah.
Call Matt. We should just put Matt's number. He should have his own commercial. Everybody can call him. Or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com and tell him we sent you. As Emergency Response Services Incorporated, they are, you know, when you've got an emergency, it sure is nice to know you've got somebody at a simple phone number like 877-JOB-DONE.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, brother. So, I went a little movie binge. What, has anybody been watching anything good lately?
I'm not going to tell you what I'm watching because you'll just won't care.
Pete Davidson movie's at midnight tonight, isn't it?
Oh, that's right,
King of Staten Island or whatever.
Man, I
saw various reviews. I saw good ones and bad ones.
I thought it was supposed to be so... I heard it was nothing but great. Isn't this the Judd Apatow movie?
Yeah, you've seen the trailer, right?
No, I have not.
I've seen
the trailer
a lot.
Looks so dumb.
I've seen a lot of reviews.
Last night.
Why? Yeah. What is this need to hype Pete Davidson all the time?
People love him. He was on CBS, The Old Man Show on CBS Sunday morning, which is called
He's
CBS.
He's on everything. Yeah.
And I didn't even bring it up to you because it was just, there was nothing to really make fun of in it. And it was bland and it was boring.
Well,
but people think he's this amazing comic genius. I don't get it.
Okay, when his stand-up came out. Oh, Pete Davidson's stand-up will be out this week. Oh, my God, stop the presses.
Alive from New York? That's...
Does anyone say stop the presses anymore? Am I the first person to say that?
For the presses to stop?
Oh, yeah. So it comes out, and it's terrible. I mean, honestly, it really wasn't good. And I was ready to like it if I had to. I was like, oh, boy, am I going to have to like this? And it was already completely maligned before I watched it. And
okay, then boomer.
I watched it, and I heard all his likes, and you know, I mean, it's just not even polished at all.
You ready for the current and updated Rotten Tomatoes thermometer on Pete Davidson, Alive from New York?
Yeah, I'm going to guess it's
what do you got to be. Throw some numbers up, because you're really good at this.
Since people love him so much, I'm going to say, he is so hyped, and I firmly believe that without his, you know, I want to be off this earth, I don't believe he'd be hyped as much. Or Ariana Grande or Kate Beckinsale or whatever. I think he would just be another guy, and he would be semi-popular or kind of popular.
So what do you...
Okay, I'm going to say 48.
48 for what, audience or...
Audience.
Audience, what do you say for critics?
Critics... Critics,
they like him more.
Critics, will they like it? No, I don't think critics liked it.
Trudy, what do you think? Do you have numbers? And Brandon,
you know, let me change my audience. I'm gonna say audience 56 and critics 44.
Fuck. Wait a second. Wow. Are you cheating?
No, I'm not even gonna give an answer because Drew.
I don't know how you correctly predict the thermometer so often, or at least within 4 points, but you were just expecting it to be a lot higher, and then you went lower. I feel like you're the guy who cheated on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You gave the other answer, and then
Brandon's
switched.
Coughing over the phone. Or over the Zoom. What
it's
is it?
57 for the audience. You said 56.
See, I lowered it by a point, so you'd believe that
40,
I didn't
cheat. 40 for the critics, and you had him at 44.
What about the
shit on it?
The crappy, or no, it's not a crappy movie. The other movie put out.
Big Time Adolescence?
That one did okay.
Do you want to guess those numbers?
I think that one has like, I did see them though, so I can't, this doesn't count. I think they were like 82 and 81 or something.
84 and 84.
Well, that's pretty good.
Do you want to know what
I didn't think that movie was an 84.
I didn't either.
I didn't either. And there's no audience score for The King of Staten Island, but there is a thermometer from the critics. Do you want to guess it?
Oh, yeah. From the critics. Let's see. Well, having not even seen the trailer, I'm going to guess it's like, I'm going to guess it's like 35.
Mm. Oh, really? 74.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I knew they'd like it.
Well, as I said, I hadn't seen the trailer. So. 74, I've seen some really bad reviews for it, and I was kind of shocked. It was like, wait, everyone said this is going to be great.
Yeah. I don't know. It does not. After seeing the trailer, it's not something I really want to see.
I kind of want to watch it just because I'm told that he's so incredible, and I'm still trying to figure out why. I do like sometimes he does stuff, and I think it's funny.
Yeah.
But I'm just amazed at the trajectory of this guy. And maybe it's Ariana Grande, 50%, 50% him.
Could be. It could be.
And I hate his whole poor me, you know. Oh, you're good. Anyway, is anybody watching anything they like?
Are you watching Lost?
Lost?
Yes.
That sounds kind of fun.
Rami actually, season two.
Kinda.
What season two?
Rami.
The show Rami, the one I gave 5 minutes to or 3 minutes to.
Yeah. I was telling Trudy, too, I started rewatching. I don't know if you ever saw the documentary called Panic on the 2008 collapse, and where they interview Bush and Obama and Bernanke.
No,
and Paul. It's really fucking good.
I'd like to see that.
It's amazing. Like, they just, like, those guys, super brilliant, and they go, public doesn't get it. We have to save the banking sector or else everyone's going under. And so all that noise about, you know, the 99% and the 1 versus the 1%.
Now,
I hate you.
Question.
Yeah.
About 2008. Actually, George Bush. George Bush, about 4 days ago, I must have read in 6 different places that George Bush is not endorsing Donald Trump. He's endorsing Joe Biden, Colin Powell, and Mitt Romney. And now I hear George Bush maybe, is that not true or is it still true?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear
that. Yeah, I just heard that today. I don't even
know. I didn't even know
he
was going to go the other way.
Yeah.
I would think he'd almost say nothing.
Well, I think what you might have seen, because there's a different George. there's like the other George Bush. What's it, George?
Oh, his nephew.
George P. Bush or something? George P. Bush?
Yeah.
He's pro-Trump?
He's very pro-Trump.
He is? And George Bush, the president?
It's going to be an awkward Thanksgiving.
No. Because the Post did say that George Bush, the former president, that the story of him not voting for Trump is just a made-up story. But who knows?
Okay.
He hadn't decided what to do, but he seriously disagreed with the handling of COVID and the other thing.
Has anyone asked Jeb?
George Floyd.
Jeb. Where did Jeb go? Is his energy so low that no one can even remember him?
He fell asleep on a couch in 2016 and he hasn't woken up.
Wow. Jeb Bush is a low energy person.
I also happen to call him a lightweight.
It's funny. Every time I saw Jeb Bush after he said that, he seemed like he had no energy. It was bizarre.
He didn't.
Yeah. Tigers drafted Spencer Torkelson, the number one pick in the entire draft, and was something...
Hey, Torkelson.
Sportsy. Hey, Torks!
I bet you as a kid he was called Dorkelson.
That's what
absolutely.
That's what gave him the drive to be the number one overall pick.
Exactly. Dorkelson this. Boom. Home run.
You ready for my fun fact about Spencer Torkelson?
What?
He's good friends with Guy Fieri.
What? I don't like that.
Ow.
That's not helping him.
His mom is Guy Fieri's CFO for all his restaurants.
That's a bloop if I've ever heard
one. That's the only thing I really know about him.
Well,
he broke Barry Bonds' home run record in college, and Barry Bonds ended up hitting quite a bit of home runs. So hopefully Spencer Dorkelson can get some steroids in him, and we can see some 70-bomb seasons.
I'm going to say something right off the bat. Yeah, 70-bombed. Here we go.
That's a lot of homers.
Spencer Torkelson, last night, the Tigers said they drafted third baseman Spencer Torkelson. He's not a third baseman. He's played first base, and...
He'll probably be a right fielder by the time he gets up here.
The number, I want to go, maybe I'm going to ask somebody, I should talk to the book, Pat Caputo. He'd be able to give me an answer.
Yeah, what do you want
to
know?
How many first basemen have been transferred to third base and failed or succeeded? I can tell you a bunch of them who failed because they just weren't third basemen. It's a different position. It seems like if you could do one, you could do the other, but it's not true. It's not something. It's not an easy transition. Put it that way.
So, did Nettles ever play first?
No, I don't think Nettles ever played first. I don't think Brooks Robinson ever played first. I don't think Santo ever played first. Panda?
Yeah.
Panda who?
Giant Panda. What's his real name?
Oh, the San Francisco guy,
yeah. Pablo Sandoval.
Pablo Sandoval.
I don't think he played second base at the end of his career. I don't know about first. Yikes. Maybe he played first.
No, Panda never played second. He's way too big. No, Rotund. No. But Miguel Cabrera, he switched over and seemed to have a couple good years. He's still, the bat was the main thing. We went to the World Series with him at third base.
I don't think he troubled himself too much with defense for those couple of years.
He did fine. He was okay.
Serviceable, I would agree.
Didn't he win a triple crown?
Yeah, he did.
Who cares what you do at third if you're winning triple crowns?
Well, winning triple crowns. But honestly, there's a lot of guys who, when they switch positions, they get really – I mean, their defense becomes very much a part of what they do. And they sort of – it kind of fucks their whole game up because they're playing a weird position. But I don't know. I don't know this guy. I hope he converts.
Here's a list. Stan Musial.
He went from third base to first base then.
This says from first to third. I don't know if he went back.
How much third base did Stan Musial play?
I don't know.
Stan the man. Can we have somebody after electricity, please? But Dave Kingman.
Johnny Bench went from catcher to third.
He spent more time in left field, I think. Dave Kingman was a horrible third baseman.
Yeah, you're right, though. There's not many. Let's see.
I think there's a few really bad ones, too.
I just like baseball when I was a kid.
It's a tough transition.
And let him play first base. I mean, who cares? The kid's going to be mashing.
Do you know why they made a big deal out of that? Because nobody drafts a first baseman number one. Because first basemen tend to be...
Everyone gets moved too.
They're not the most athletic people, generally, or they wouldn't play first base. This guy was at Arizona State. Why was he playing first base at Arizona State? Well, I'm going to guess that... Maybe they had quicker guys and better defensive guys at third base and in left field and right field. And so,
But I think maybe. You're looking too far in it. I mean, if this guy becomes a first baseman that can hit like Freddie Freeman or Pete Alonso or Anthony Rizzo or Paul Goldschmidt or Matt Olson, there's a lot of great first
basemen.
Play first base. That's my point is why do we have to say he's a third baseman? Because
nobody drafts first baseman first.
Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
It almost seemed like damage control, and everybody loves this guy.
Yeah.
Just let him go play first and hit his 40 home runs. Jeez. okay. So also today in local news, Warren City Hall had a protest over the Amazon driver who was asked to give his license. There's a new video now where the officer is asking him for his license 11 times. He does not want to produce it. He is parked the wrong way on the street, which is like dumb. Like, who cares? It's Amazon. However,
hey, we've had the police show up to the studio over that.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that.
But we were facing the right way.
No, he's facing the wrong way. That's what he was.
We were facing the
right way. Oh, we were. Okay.
It's still just as silly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's silly. Ferndale. It is. But
just tell him to move. Go.
Here's the funny part that kind of makes sense. It's still stupid. Apparently, with delivery drivers, it happens a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And Warren City Council actually discussed as to whether or not they should ticket people. Mm-hmm. And this particular street has had people complain about it, doesn't that sound about like Warren? I mean, does that seem like something that would bother people in Warren?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm not trying to exonerate the cop, by the way.
Not either, but why not just say, hey, this street in particular has had a lot of complaints about what you're doing. Can you move your car?
Well, how often do cops come up to you and not ask you for your license? Isn't that the first thing they want?
Well, to use Brandon's example, when we parked here, they didn't ask for any of our license.
We parked the right way.
No, we weren't. We were on the wrong side of the street.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea why he asked for his license. He's not wearing a uniform.
Yeah, which is all Bezos' fault.
I do. I blame Bezos for at least 50% of this, and maybe it is the cop's fault. But there's a little more. There was at least a little more to the story. It's just amazing how these things just come out, and all of a sudden it's like, look at the cop off! I mean, I think people...
The times we're in right now, this very second.
But the truth is always important, and I think when people start judging things, and you know what? Look at all the prejudgment that goes into a lot of this stuff. When it went the other way, it was entirely wrong. Everybody knows. Well, I like to say everybody knows that. Everybody does know that. But most people don't like that.
You know, the big loser.
Whether it happens to you or not. I don't want it to happen to people.
Big loser in this situation is everybody else who had their packages on that car that aren't going to get them anytime soon because the packages couldn't get delivered.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
That's all I can think of. Like, what if my package is on that car? It's all about me.
There's another case today, and this is just to me. I don't understand how this is happening, and nobody tries to stop it. Maybe there is no stopping it. Maybe it's, well, do we have that drop? Then there's no way to stop
it.
If the earth wants to roll around the sun.
okay, a black cop was in a coffee shop. He wanted to use the bathroom. You know, they don't have people in the coffee shop per se, but I guess you pick up your coffee and you leave. He wanted to use the bathroom, or he was asking for somebody else or something, and they said...
Actual audio.
Where's the bathroom? I got to take a dump.
They said, no, nobody can use the bathrooms because of coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And the black cop then proceeded to, I don't know if he had someone else tape or recorded. Did anybody else see this, by the way?
No. Mm-mm.
Anyway, the thing is kind of recorded, and really recording isn't all that much. It was more that he said...
There is no bathroom!
He felt that because he was black, they were denying him the bathroom. Well, immediately, of course, people descend on this coffee shop. The owner went to the police station because he said he felt he was endangered or he felt threatened. Anyway, another video has come out now showing them telling a white female cop that she can't use the bathroom. And honestly, I'm surprised they didn't let both of them use the bathroom. I mean, I would think you'd let a cop use the bathroom.
Of course.
Maybe.
Where's this at?
Maybe in 20 years ago you might. Maybe not now.
Where's this at?
Where is this?
I'm not exactly sure. I just saw it in Inside Edition.
It was Brooklyn.
Was it Brooklyn?
Well, yeah, it was Brooklyn. And, I mean, I'm seeing the same thing in Rochester Hills. I walk into my Speedway. I can't urinate in there if I want to. It says a big old sign, because of coronavirus. No taking a dump here. And I get it.
by the way, there's a number of problems. New York was the city they mentioned the most was with people defecating and urinating on the streets. There's nowhere for people to go.
It's no San Francisco.
And it's not a crime. Apparently, New York actually has decriminalized it or something. I forgot what the term was.
As big of a health problem as coronavirus.
It's a problem.
There's New York on the streets like Gull Island during January.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, there's all that stuff. And also in Detroit, just worthy of mentioning for some reason, I don't know why, there's a 16-story condo project going up in Greektown. And I thought, well, that seems like a strange time to decide to put up a building in Greektown. But that reminded me of what Charlie Leduff keeps talking about, and there will be a No BS News recorded tomorrow. Where's the Hudson's building? What's the – because I remember in the
– there, I mean, there's a hole there.
I remember – when was Elton John here? Was that 9 months ago? Or was that a year and 9 months ago?
A year.
He played in October in Detroit. Was that a year and 9 months ago?
Yeah, that's got
to
be.
Had to have been. Oh, yeah, because he was supposed to just play in May.
Holy fuck. I remember walking by and going, it's just a hole in the ground. Well, what's going on? I mean, it looks like they're not doing anything. And then Charlie told me, they've stopped, completely stopped. They took the, how much money did they get? It was some insane amount of money.
He said they didn't have the money. He looked at the financing for
it. Didn't they receive money from the city?
Weren't they granted
$300 million or some insane amount?
Who was they, by the way, in this equation?
Dan Gilbert.
The man.
The Hudson's building was I've seen more pictures of that beautiful Hudson's building in the paper. Of course, it's
in the future.
Planned building.
Yeah.
And there's nothing going on. I don't get it. Now, I don't know. Is that money contingent on something else? Did he not actually get the money? Because they dug a hole. They started. I assume they got the money.
Yeah, they got millions in incentives. I don't know. I'm just trying to read this very fast.
Do you get incentives if you don't go through with it, though? Do they make you pay those back?
Trudy, that's a great question. Do the Illiches have to build that fancy schmancy little zone they were going to build?
Yeah.
No, they don't. You
want that money back.
By the way, when this came up, was that about a year ago? Hey, what's going on with this entertainment zone?
Yeah.
It was more than a year ago.
It was more than a year ago.
And they said, well, we're a little couple years behind schedule. Now, I haven't seen any evidence of all that stuff.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy.
Plenty of parking lots.
Illich just did the smart thing and just said, we're just not going to do anything and people will forget about it.
Yeah, you know what they did? You know what they said? They said,
forget about it.
They said, we've given this much money to charity and we've done this and we've done this and we've done this. And it was kind of a, fuck you. We're taking this one.
So reading this story very fast, I think one of the big problems is that they sold it to him for a dollar.
What story?
Oh, they sold the land.
For a dollar, yeah. It's based on his promise.
Isn't there some money?
I'm looking. I'm just...
Okay. Well, it's not that important.
That devalues the rest of Detroit, though, doesn't it? I mean, Detroit has great real estate, great architecture.
I don't think that would get averaged in as a comp. I don't think that would be fair, would it? I don't know if you're a buyer. Hey, that place went for a dollar. What the hell?
What a concept. Oh, man. I don't know.
Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, DealsInTheD.com. All of our friends. Of course, all the Zot team excited to be back at full strength and serving you and your automotive needs. And they're doing all the Corona stuff they have to do. I don't know what else to call it. During the Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Drive Forward event, feel free to go online to enjoy their enhanced shopping experience. Check out the deals, too, like the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $188 a month. If you like Jeeps, how about a 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at $155 a month? Why can't I say $155? I stumble on that every time. There's always a 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And, of course, there's Wrangler. Right now, get Zot's employee pricing for everyone, 0% financing, and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, you have to hurry because, as you know, the shutdown has inventory drying up quickly. That means your best selection is today. So get the party started at DealsInTheD.com. And Death Wish Coffee, they are just killing people all over the place with that crazy coffee. People are just, have you noticed how people's eyes are just wide open?
Yeah.
It's because they're drinking Death Wish Coffee.
So much stuff is getting done.
And people think everybody's scared. They're just drinking Death Wish. So chill out. Deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. Use the code Drew15. It's not for pussies. If you are a pussy or a twerp or whatever, do not drink Death Wish Coffee. It'll overwhelm you.
A twink. A twink, too.
A twink. I'll go ahead and say that. Controversial as it might be. Deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. Use Drew15 at checkout. Get your 15% off. So there. Hall Financial Hotline, anything today?
No. No, my time was kind of limited.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mark broke his temporary crown. Do temporary crowns ever not break?
I've had them before.
My teeth were so messed up.
I had one before, and it was fine. And then this one, I'm sitting here eating, and it broke. And it was, oh, shit. But, hey, I got my two permanent ones in, so yippee. And cool. I think doctor's going to start listening now, Dr. Gibby.
Right.
Talked him into it. Hi, Dr. Gibby.
Men and women, if y'all got some up-ass teeth, man, we grown. Go and fix that.
I was talking to him about podcasts. I said, well, what do you listen to? And he said Rogan and I think Ben Shapiro. And he said, I tend to listen to
Ben
a lot of...
Ben Shapiro? What kind of dentist are you going to?
Well, with an open mind. And then he said a lot of... But he goes, really, I'm just listening to a lot of dental podcasts.
Which I know. Like,
in, my head, I'm like, I think there's dental podcasts.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, there's lots of them.
But then I was like, I'm kind of glad he does, because maybe he's keeping up with the
that's what I like
world
at
of
it.
Dentistry. He's on top of it. He's not, you know.
No, that's posting. What I like. Dr. Roche is constantly going to these seminars and demonstrations and
but his are for boobs and stuff.
Wow, that's pretty cool. His field is teeth.
No, Greg is always finding ways to do his job better and to make you look better. Oh, yeah. A lot of times doctors as they get older, they just don't keep up, and he definitely keeps up. I can be a witness to that.
I went to see Dr. Hartrick the other day, too.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about the urine story?
We did talk about the urine story because her assistant, Patty, is there, and she said she used to listen to us on the radio when she was 12. And I'm like, well, you probably heard us tell a story about the person you would work for in the future and the urine story. And
then everybody
was like, yeah, the urine story. Everyone knows that story.
You can't not know that story.
Patty!
I wonder if anyone had ever pronounced that urine. Probably.
No. Oh, Patty's so moist. Come on, Patty!
Certainly the most publicized use of.
Patty listens, and Dr. Hartrick says she will.
I don't know if I believe her. I keep plugging Dr. Hartrick. I don't think she ever hears about it.
Why would she listen? Listen to all the plugs she gets.
I know. She doesn't need to listen. David Hall.
Oh, there we go. Come on, Patty. You better come out.
David Hall Financial. Care about the community. That's why Hall Financial is working from home around the clock to help save people money with a refi. If you haven't refinanced in the last year, Hall Financial says they can probably help you. It's worth calling to find out. Or going to the website, DavidHallMortgage.com, or our website, Drew and Mike Show, and click the link, fill out the online form. They get back to you really fast, though. If you're not ready for them, don't do it. 248-308-5000. You might be able to skip a couple payments in addition to lowering your rate. And, God, they help people with this one guy with IRS problems and all kinds of baloney, and they got him through it somehow. I know. He was blown away. Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention. NMLS number 1467435. They're an equal housing lender. And I was going to mention, because Ben Shapiro, oh, my God, I'm stunned. Anyway, Tucker Carlson is taking a pounding. There's a campaign to get his advertisers off his show, which has happened to him now. I think this is the fourth time.
Yeah.
And he always loses a couple, but apparently he gets them back, I guess. Anyway, it concerns me because I know who Ben Shapiro is, and you know he makes some great points, and I'm sure a lot of people despise the ground he walks on. But, you know, all these different voices, Tucker Carlson is not a denier, in my opinion. I don't think he's saying that there's nothing going on out there that you need to be concerned about. Everything is beautiful. In fact, he criticizes Trump. And I would say I probably watched Tucker Carlson more in the last, month. I've seen, I would guess, maybe 5 or 6 shows, which is a lot for me because I just don't like watching those shows that much. And I think he's made some great points. Now, I can see, he's really going to bum people out here. But people need to have the ability to speak freely, or I don't know how anybody gets anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't think anybody disagrees with that.
I think a lot of people disagree with it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't want him to say people getting canceled every day for it.
Yeah, they want him to shut up. There was a Oh, by the way, the advertisers. One of them that is off the show now said, "Oh, that ad buy is placed by a third party. It's crazy,
yeah, right?
Yeah, because they don't want to take responsibility for being off the show because they know people will be pissed at them." And today, this is pathetic. But Papa John's, and I don't blame Papa John's at all. Papa John said, "We're not going to do opinion programming anymore. We're not advertising on opinion programming. We don't want any part of that."
Yeah, they just want to sell pizza.
Yeah, they want to sell pizza. I don't blame them. But you
God,
know
that
what?
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Right now,
Tucker Carlson or Chris Cuomo or Anderson Cooper, whoever they are. If they appeal to an audience that services an advertiser, it's okay. I don't think any of them are that horrible. I'm sure somebody's going, "Oh, my God, how can you say that?" I mean, I don't think any of them don't deserve to exist, put it that way.
Yeah.
I don't think any of them is saying anything that bad. But Tucker Carlson has a lot of people are going after him. So I read the story. And did anybody else read the story, by the way?
No. Mm-mm.
Is it,
why am I reading this all this boring shit nobody else reads?
Well, no, I've seen a bunch of his viral. He's gone viral a couple times based on, you know, the Elm.
He's had some fabulous. I swear to God, I think he's had some fabulous takes on what's going on, starting with coronavirus and moving into what we're going through now. You know, they're not going to be necessarily what everyone else is saying, because everyone else is trying to say the right thing. Because they just either don't want to get swept up in something that, you know, maybe they believe in or they kind of believe in or they, you know, mostly believe in, or they're trying to curry favor. They're trying to get likes. It's a, you know, and we've seen people getting called out for that, which is also, in my opinion, I think that's kind of unfair. If somebody says it, but you don't think they mean it, is it really, do we really need to know what a shitbag Lea Michele is? It seems like people have pretty well figured it out.
Yes, I do, because that was the best story of the last 2 weeks.
I really wasn't against it, but generally speaking, I just don't like people. I don't like the person that thinks they have the power to just destroy her.
So who has Tucker lost?
Papa John's Disney
and T-Mobile.
Well, T-Mobile is a big
advertise
behind.
On.
Yeah, I would think Disney would just advertise on their own networks.
Disney's got their own problems, by the way. People are demanding an end to Splash Mountain because two characters on Splash Mountain are from the most racist Disney product there is.
Apparently. Aladdin.
Song of the South.
Song of the South. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, with live PD going down now and cops the other day.
Live PD's big problem, though, is the fact that they had that video of the guy, the newest one in Texas, the "I Can't Breathe."
Right.
Live PD says the prosecution, whatever, has had it for over a year.
Okay. But I thought they destroyed the other angles.
I don't know what Live PD did or didn't do. I'm just saying today I read that for the first time, that they said that they passed along a video a long time ago.
But I mean, well, now we're seeing.
That's
we're
the
seeing
video we're watching, by the way.
We're seeing these stories in the New York Times about people collecting all these hate directed towards Paw Patrol and shit like that. You know, cartoon cops.
I still refuse to believe it's not a joke. It's not a joke.
Okay. No, there are people who are actually upset.
I talked to the first guy that made a comment on it. He's like, "That's kind of joking."
I know. I understand that it probably started as a joke and stuff, but we have tons of these actors right now who've played cops in the past. They're tweeting out that they apologize, you know, I'm donating money because I'm so sorry that I played a cop.
Wait, are you saying that?
Are you saying that they take responsibility?
Exactly.
Apparently. they see things clearly. They've taken a closer look at things. They've listened to people. And isn't that the standard line? Should we create the standard tweet or post that people keep, like Lady Antebellum today? We've examined the meaning of antebellum, and we examined
slow down
what's going on out there. And so why are they Lady A? Because A stands for antebellum.
I know. That'd be like being the N-words with attitudes. I mean, and to name your band something and you don't know the meaning of Antebellum, or you know,
well,
I'm sure their inference for it is totally different with how it's being taken now. But still, come on.
I don't know that much about Lady Antebellum, but the way they described it was it seemed
Lady A,
fairly harmless.
Yeah. Lady A, I know.
But after examining it in the recent light of day and listening to people and
it should have been Lady BLM.
I'm so glad I never liked them and never spoke about them ever in my life, so I don't have to stop.
Lady Anta BLM.
Lady
Anta. Come on.
Lady Anta BLM. It's similar enough. Wouldn't that make people happy?
I have to say, you know, I'm watching this today, you know, all the statues that people are tearing down. And by the way, the statue landed on him and he busted his head open. Yeah. Is he dead?
Probably.
Well, it's not a good idea to have just regular people. I mean, I realize they do this in Iran, in Iraq.
Yeah, we love it.
And people get really excited. But, I mean, do we want people to get killed by these statues?
No.
Which statue killed who?
I think it was a Columbus one.
Yeah.
Oh, Columbus killed people.
I don't think it
fell on somebody.
Not the first time.
Pretty, pretty bad.
Still killing people 400 years later.
Yeah, nice going, Columbus.
I do kind of think it's fun watching people pull these statues once they're to be saved, like out of the water.
Oh, I saw that.
Just leave it.
Who did that? Why? So they want to save the statue?
The government, yeah.
Oh, well, it is worth a lot of money, I suppose. I mean, any statue costs a lot of money.
Statue.
Yeah, that Orville Hubbard statue just keeps getting...
Just have no more statues.
It keeps going further and further away from where anyone can see it. It's in the graveyard now.
Now,
you know the graveyard's going to say, get this fucking statue out of here.
I just think it's funny. People are so mad that a statue exists, and then other people are so mad when the statue comes down.
What does
it do for you either way?
I wish somebody... Can someone explain why it ever went up so I could at least understand why it was ever a statue in the first place? Because when you take down a statue, I generally find myself saying, well, that must be the shittiest person ever if their statue's being pulled down.
Drew, I'm telling you, I'm starting a movement. I want to the Great Pyramids in Egypt. I want those taken down.
They were built on the backs of
we need to start something and get those things taken down.
You know what I remember, Trudy?
They're graves, though. So
remember when we were in Germany and we had that tour of West Berlin?
Yeah.
Do you remember how we were all looking at each other, going, "Are they going to say anything about World War II and some of the stuff that happened in World War II?" And they never did. They acted like it never happened.
Well, they got to. I mean, they do, right?
Do they really have to do that? I mean, I think it's part of their – it's an ugly part of their history, but there was stuff that, like, you know, you would see this building. It looked like it took a 100 explosions. And they were actually – I think it was saved.
On purpose.
And I was like, well, could you tell us a little bit about it? I mean, it's just – I was interested. It was history.
Yeah, don't want to talk about it.
It just seemed
remember the guy that you met at the beer garden, though?
Yeah, oh, sure do.
Yeah, he wanted to admit his guilt.
Yeah, I know he felt really
bad. That's all he was
about. He did. And he also, the reason I'll never forget him is because he was, Gunther. His name was Gunther.
Gunther, yeah.
He was going on and on. He was a great guy. We had a lot of fun. He's going on and on and on and on and on about this guy that was performing in their street fest or whatever in Berlin. And so I was like, oh, I guess I got to go. It sounds really good. And then I remember eventually he said, oh, yeah, he plays all the hits. Billy Joel, Elton John. I'm like, wait, he's a cover guy? Because I thought I was going to see some real, I thought I was going to get some culture.
You got to watch what they like.
Gunther sort of knew this guy not really well. And Gunther, this is so bad. Gunther introduced me to him. He was like, on his way, he's like being, you know, hurried up to the stage, and Gunther like grabs it. Hey, how you doing? The guy's like, yeah, what's up? You know, like, fuck you. And Gunther introduced me to him, and the guy like really blew me off. And I was like, oh man, what an asshole! But he must be a big star. Goes on.
It's
stage.
A German thing. You wouldn't understand.
He starts singing all these American hits in a German accent. It was terrible. He was awful. I couldn't believe he was a star.
You got suckered. Well, so was Hasselhoff. So.
And he copped such a big fucking toot when I met him. Like, fuck you.
Hey, you're on his turf now, buddy.
I guess so.
Is he still touring today? We should see how many people are on his
show. Find out.
I'll be fine.
So on to other things. I've been on.
I was trying to think
of some other stuff I've been watching. People keep asking me, and I was on such a binge earlier in coronavirus, and then I kind of backed off, and then this, all of this happened. It sounds like I don't want to say what it is. All this insanity, or all this progress, or all this many, many things happened the last couple of weeks, and so I was watching a lot of news and commentary and that sort of stuff. Like I said, I've seen Tucker Carlson a few times. And anyway, the last couple of days, I'm like, I need to get away from, I need something else. And so for some reason, I saw that Drugstore Cowboy was on, the Matt Dillon movie. That is a great movie. I love that movie. Kelly Lynch is his drug babe.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And what amazed me was I saw this movie a long time ago. I thought at the time it was a really
I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
It was a good movie at the time. Like now it would be kind of like, oh, isn't that kind of old? I mean, really? Are people knocking down drugstores? I think we get doctors to prescribe opiates nowadays. But anyway, William Burroughs was in it, the beat writer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the naked lunch guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the movie. He plays a junkie priest.
Really?
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. But I thought
junkie priest.
A junkie priest. Yeah, he had a heroin habit.
Cool. Like Rickety Cricket.
Oh yeah.
You know the weird thing about William Burroughs in the movie is that it reminded me a little bit of the Al Jorgensen story from Ministry. Burroughs?
Yeah.
He loves William Burroughs. He loved all his books. He loved all his works, etc. And so he knew he lived in Lawrence, Kansas, and he was playing that show in Wichita. So he somehow got word to Burroughs that, hey, man, I'm in this band called Ministry, and we're playing this big gig there, and I sure would like to meet you. And Burroughs, I guess, who had been on methadone for, you know, a couple decades, said, well, bring me something good. So Al Jorgensen, I believe he was driving his Nissan. He had some super torqued-up Nissan that he drove everywhere, and everyone talked about Al and his Nissan. Like, you know, Al came flying up in his Nissan. Anyway, Al, who's the biggest partier possibly ever, just blows into Wichita, Kansas, and he tries to score, and he can't for some reason. And I was like, wait, did he really not score? Or did he really just not score enough for William Burroughs? That's what I suspect. So he drives to Lawrenceville, where Burroughs is, and Burroughs opens the door, and he goes, you got anything for me? And he goes, oh, man, we tried to score. And he just shut the door in his face.
Oh, that's great.
So then Al went back and scored and went back to William Burroughs' house. And Burroughs, I guess he, you know, tied up his arm and shot himself up and went to heaven for a few hours. And then I think he said,
how old was Burroughs then?
Burroughs was like probably 78, 77 years old. Oh, I know. Isn't that wild? And I think he kept him high for a couple days. And Burroughs went to a show, and he sounded like a pretty cranky fuck, actually. He did shoot his wife in the head. Remember that?
Burroughs did?
Yeah, he tried to redo the famous, who shot the apple off the head? Newton or somebody?
Oh, William Tell?
That Newton guy? Oh, yeah, Bill Tell.
Bill Tell. Billy Tell. B.T.
Newton. Why do I want to make Newton?
Because he's got an apple
Newton,
story, too.
He has an apple.
Allegedly. It's a myth.
You're getting your apple stories confused.
That's so weird.
Why did I think he was gay, though?
Burroughs? Yeah. Burroughs was gay.
Oh, but he's married? Wait, who shot who in the head?
He shot his wife in the head.
So he's gay but married.
I guess so. A lot of people were.
Okay.
I mean, that was in the 50s, I think, or the 40s.
Were the big three all gay? The big three beat writers?
Kerouac was not gay.
Oh, okay. So just Burroughs.
Yeah, Ginsberg was gay.
Ginsberg, okay.
Ginsberg was very gay.
I wonder if they got it on in front of Kerouac.
No, probably. I want you two to kiss each other.
There's Jack Kerouac.
I wouldn't be surprised. Kerouac would write about anything.
Cool name, though, Jack Kerouac.
Yeah.
Very cool name.
It is a cool name. That's a good radio name, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Factotum. I watched Drugstore Cowboy. I was like, I like Matt Dillon. So I'm like, Matt Dillon movies. I Google it. And this Newsweek thing comes up. The top 15 Matt Dillon movies.
Dillon! Something about Mary?
Yeah, that was in there.
I kind of want to know the top 15 Matt Dillon movies.
That was number
The Outsiders.
Yeah, that was in there. Outsiders.
Crash.
Pretty high.
Oh, God.
Crashed was like four.
Aren't those two very overrated movies, The Outsiders and Crash?
I think so. I really do.
What did he play in Crash?
A cop. Cancel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm dying?
A cop who did what?
Crashed. I don't remember. Did he crash?
It was a race movie.
African American woman.
It was a race movie. Totally a race movie.
Whoa. My favorite part, or my favorite movie of his was Wild Things, but I only caught like a 15 minute segment that I just kept going back and watching and rewatching.
I'm beaten off.
Yeah.
Well, he's in.
Who are those two ever
making?
He's in
In and Out. He's in a lot of stuff. But I saw I saw this title. I'm like, Factotum. What is Factotum? And I was like, is that a book or something? Mm. And it is. It's a Charles Bukowski book about. And Bukowski was a writer, pretty popular. I mean, he's popular now anyway, but he used to sort of slum in L.A. and do all these sort of nothing jobs, low pay, low level jobs, like, you know, working. He'd work in a factory for 3 weeks, get fired because he was drunk. He was drunk all the time. Mm. Then he just took all these really silly jobs, and he'd always get fired because he was such a drunk. He'd stop showing up or he'd do something stupid. He got in a fight with a what's the word for a person of challenged height? I can't think of the proper word.
What do you mean, dwarf?
Yeah, dwarf. You got a fight with a dwarf.
Little person.
You got a fight with a little person who is his boss.
What? Dwarf is the word. I didn't say the M word.
So, I wonder why is dwarf so much better?
Isn't that the medical term?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just don't. When I hear it, I don't know why it. Doesn't it feels no better than the
person?
But if they like it better, then that's fine with me. I don't care.
Yeah, whatever they want to be.
So in Factotum, Dylan's playing Bukowski, and he's just a total drunk. He keeps all these low level jobs because he wants to be a writer, and so he's just writing in between all this drunkenness and these crappy jobs, and he's determined to be a writer, which I think is kind of how his life went. And in the meantime, he runs into Lily Taylor, who's a total drunk too, and Marisa Tomei is the other one. She's a total drunk, so it's kind of a drunken movie, and it's very slow. I don't recommend it unless you love all Matt Dillon movies, and you can handle something that is a little more maybe meaningful than exciting. Because I kind of liked it actually, but I do like Matt Dillon. And then Rumblefish, I went the full threesome with Rumblefish.
Son of a bitch.
Young Matt Dillon and Mickey Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why Mickey Rourke is so annoying looking back on it, because I forgot. I'd seen that movie, but I didn't remember it very well. Like, he's talking in that really soft voice all the time, you know. I went out to L.A. and saw Mom. And
I get to the ocean. I don't understand why Mickey Rourke was supposed to be hot.
You know what? Did you see The Pope of Greenwich Village?
No, I did not see that.
He's really good in that movie. But,
is he?
I've seen that.
But he's kind of like that guy. You know, he's starting to be that guy. I think
what about Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man, you know?
I didn't see that. Is that Don Johnson and Mickey Rourke? Mm-hmm. I think I might see it. That might be a bad movie that might be good. I don't know.
Somebody help me out. Is it in 3D?
No.
Not interested.
But, yeah, Mickey Rourke, I think he's kind of that way. Pope of Greenwich Village, though, is Eric...
Stoltz.
Eric, no. Eric. Julie Roberts. Eric Roberts. Eric Roberts is great in that movie. He's just great. And he and Mickey Rourke are kind of a buddy movie, but it's pretty crazy. I thought it was really good. Rumblefish.
A piece of shit movie.
I think Mickey Rourke went progressively downhill with every movie after Pope of Greenwich Village. Too bad.
Oh, no. Sin City was great. The Wrestler was great.
I like The Wrestler.
Iron Man, too.
Yeah, he's got a few. I'm surprised he made a comeback, honestly. He looks so bizarre now, doesn't he?
Yeah. He got a lot of work done.
He doesn't look anything like that Mickey Rourke. You know, Dad, you're more like Dad and I'm more like Mom. And I went to see Mom. She left the family like 12 years ago, but I didn't see the ocean. And she married to a movie person. I mean, it's like, I was like, what is that? What is he doing? Who talks like that? It's sort of like Greg Evan again. Greg Evan again. Greg Evigan again. In Melrose Place.
Alan? Was it Alan?
I'm trying to think of what was his big line in that show?
You used to always talk like Greg Evan again.
Now comes the logistical part. No, that was when...
that was Matt.
Yeah. I can't remember, man.
I'm just trying to break up with her and make it easier for her.
Had a real weird...
Remember when you...
Can you watch Melrose Place now? Is that on anything?
Probably.
Oh, yeah. Everything else has been canceled. You got to hear something.
Isn't there some reason to cancel it? Not very inclusive.
Speaking of some great acting.
You know what's really funny is when you think of something that violates all the tenets that people are interested in now, like diversity and inclusiveness, something that you would normally never say anything about, but you don't like the show, so you go, that show's not very inclusive. It's like you pile on people that you don't like, and then if it's somebody you like, oh, it's an old show. I mean, it was 1992.
That's how it all works, man.
Yeah.
We can agree that the most progressive show in TV history has got to be Different Strokes.
Oh, my God. They were doing message shows in the mid-80s.
Well, plus the rich guy adopted two black children, and they came along great, and he employed some white care, Mrs. Garrett. And forget the men. And then they taught you about the Maytag man and what a molester he is.
Oh, yeah.
It's the weirdest
Gordon Jump.
The canned laughter in that episode is what really sets it apart. It
never gets old. That and the episode with Nancy Reagan are just very defining my life.
Oh, God, so bad.
I mean, it's no billions.
But. I'm ashamed that I was alive when that happened. I am. I'm ashamed.
It's your one reference for the day.
Clark's one reference.
It'll come back.
Today.
It'll come back again.
It
always does.
Hey,
no more.
You know, with the stock market going down almost 2,000
points. Like in billions.
Today. You might want to be looking at your investments and seeing, gee, what's the way forward? Things are weird. They're talking about possibly a lasting recession of some kind. In spite of some really good news, there's a lot bad going on out there. So it's a good time to talk to someone like Luke Nowacki to see if you're on the right track. Call Luke at 248-663-4748. He's really about having a financial plan, which isn't a bad idea. I know most people don't go that way, or they wait and they wait and they wait, but it's not bad to get in front of that, or if you are late in the game, it's never too late. So give Luke Nowacki a crack. Consultation, of course, is not going to cost you anything. Security Investment Advisory Services off the Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities and or marketing names, product services, reference here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Email limit L Nowacki, LNOWACKI at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies.
I was going to say, regarding some great acting, should we play the I Take Responsibility video?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
Okay. Oh, this is a new.
This is really something.
A new pledge that celebrities are making.
Can I say that even Twitter is finding it cringy as hell, and it's some people are calling it Gal Gadot Imagine Part 2.
Yeah, that's good. That's fair.
I have to say, I will acknowledge 100% that I don't like this idea of, you know, these white cops washing black preachers' feet and, you know, people suggesting that they've been elevated by the color of their skin. I like it the other way. Why are we putting people down because of the color of their skin? I don't like the idea of suggesting that, you know, everyone's so lucky that, you know, they're. I hate the word privilege, too. I hate it. And I'm not one to...
Well, I think a lot of times people think that if you acknowledge white privilege, you have to feel bad for it, like white guilt.
Well, I think that is a thing, though. I think a lot of people...
But if you shouldn't apologize for your color of your skin, no matter what you are, it's not your choice.
No, it's not. Sexuality. It's you're born white, and to apologize for it and suggesting that you knowingly gain things because
gender,
of it, I don't like that.
No, I know.
I can tell you right now, there's also a lot of people... There's a lot of people who get confused based on some of the names of this stuff, and I'm serious, because people hear Black Lives Matter, and then they respond because they don't understand it. They hear defund the police, and they respond because they don't believe it.
You know what? I don't think these little buzzwords and terms, I don't think they're helping anyone. Why not just speak your mind instead of say, you know, I believe in this, or I go along, or I stand with? Why not just say what you feel? I mean, wouldn't that be more honest anyway? I feel like we would get further along instead of insisting people apologize for things that they don't think they did.
Well, a lot of this, too, isn't, I mean, come on, washing the feet. What does that really accomplish?
It's in the Bible.
I know all too well what it means.
I don't think I'd want my feet washed.
No, God, no. That's weird. But I just don't know what
I can't believe those guys accepted that. I just, that the whole thing is so bizarre to me. And, you know, it's like I was reading about cops being canceled today. I don't think I've ever been sent so many messages about one thing in the history of the show. I mean, so many people are like, oh, my God, Cops. And they sent me a copy of it. And, you know, naturally, I'm sad about it because I love Cops. But what I don't like is people saying that Cops glamorize, that Cops are glamorized on Cops. On Cops, Cops is not a fictional show. If you watch Cops and you find that it's glamorous to police, I really don't think I'm watching the same show.
Well, then I want every true crime podcast and true crime show taken off because that glorifies detective works and their cops. I want Watchmen taken off. I want Stranger Things because the main character is a cop. I want, what else do I want? A True Detective. No more seasons of that bullshit. I mean, where does it stop? Where do you draw the line? Paw Patrol, like we were saying, get that shit right out of here.
Paw Patrol.
But I'm serious, though. People are getting pissed off over every single little thing that has to do with a police officer right now. I'm even, you know, we didn't report on this the other day because it just never got big news. But there was a cop in, Buena Vista who just got randomly shot off-duty cop. And they think that they went after him because of the license plate that he had, you know, on his personal off-duty vehicle. And so I was reading comments that were on social media, so who knows what that means. But there was other people saying, yeah, my husband's a cop, and he's taking off his, and he's taking down his the blue stripe, you know, the cop flag. He's taking that down from his flagpole. And
I think it's pathetic. I really think it's pathetic. It's horrible. To just demonize any group of people is just rotten. And police, I mean, how can we not acknowledge what police do for not very much money? And that doesn't mean there aren't shitty cops. And honestly, the longer this goes on, the angrier I get at the people who are in charge. And by that, I mean the people in charge, whether in charge of the police or they're in charge of the police union or they're in charge of the government or they're in charge of their congressional district or they're in charge. Why have they not done anything? They've done nothing. I mean, seriously, what have they done before now? Nothing. They still haven't really done anything, have they?
No.
Is it that hard to do something? Because I don't think it is. I think it's bullshit.
Have a subcommittee to study this.
Yeah. Fuck you. Get it done. Manson style.
I think they're just afraid of what redefining what police work is.
Well, you know, defunding the police is a really dramatic move. And as I said before, you know, if we want to have a test city and do it and that city wants to do it, then do it. Fucking do it. You know, get some smart people in a room and decide how you're going to do it and represent everybody. And that's fine. But, I mean, we're not going to reform the entire country's law enforcement right now. But one city, if Minneapolis feels that this is such a failure that we need to reimagine it,
They have reimagined it. And they really pretty much did it in Detroit when the feds came and took over.
Look at Detroit. Detroit's doing great. I think had to have all that oversight for 10 years, and they hated it, but it got better.
I think there's a prevailing feeling that they have become over, you know, we talk about it all the time, over aggressive and militarized as opposed to being kind of the community police that are actually out walking the beat, meeting people, talking to people.
You know, as far as cops just walking around, and I do like that idea, and we have heard of places where that's been really successful. They were talking about that today on CNN. MSNBC, I think it was.
The experts say the more you know the people you're patrolling, the less kind of run-ins you have because you know what to expect.
And that's one of the reasons the bicycle cops are, you know, they're more accessible. And
Bicycle.
But... you know, what they really haven't dug into is some of these high crime areas it's just not that, hey, how you doing? It's not quite that simple. And also what was being said today was that they just don't have a lot of cops to be walking around, you know, just glad-handing people. There's a lot of work to be done. It's not like, you know, sometimes I think the suggestion is that police are doing all the wrong stuff. Well, yeah, they are doing some of the wrong stuff.
It really seems like there's a major disconnect between the police and the community they're serving, and that needs to get back together.
Well, there's also, you know, there's a lot of crime they deal with, and there's a lot of bullshit they deal with.
Stop dealing with some of the bullshit crimes, too, the smaller ones.
Well, they should, you know, I don't know, like, from watching cops. Why are cops the people you call when you have a snake in your yard?
Exactly.
That's a legislation thing, though. That's not those police officers.
That's what we're
officers.
Talking about.
Yeah, but the cops are the ones who are demonized.
The anger is still directed at the cops, not the legislators.
But it's all the cops' fault. The cops are all horrible, and you know. And I listened to this PSA today, and I knew this thing as soon as you pointed out. I knew what this was going to be like. When Julianne Moore says, "Is it Julianne Moore that says people are being slaughtered in the streets?" Slaughtered in the streets. I mean, you know, I just hate the idea that these things live and breathe, and people believe them because it's said all the time that, you know, my child leaves the house, I'm afraid he's going to be murdered by the police. I mean, they make it sound like the police are a squad of murderers, not law enforcement people who are poorly trained or wrongly trained or whatever. And by the way, the training, which we've been talking about, the training of police forever, have they changed anything? No, I don't think they have. I don't think they changed a fucking thing. What the fuck? Why take? I swear, I just think we should vote everyone out. Just vote everyone out.
Well, that's a lot of people thought in 2016, too.
I know. It ends up, it doesn't matter.
You got to have an outsider.
Anyone who gets elected has to have a lot of money. They have to have a lot of people lobbying them because lobbyists pay money. And lobbyists, if you think about it, they twist the whole thing around because they represent sides we don't want represented. So the will of the people is so rarely reflected anymore. You know, it's like, I was talking to the base. Well, what about the fucking country? Why don't you talk to the fucking country? And I tell you what, this whole business of bases.
They want their jobs.
Yeah, they want their jobs because that's what, it's not really a public service thing.
Going back to, not billions, but going back to that documentary about panic.
Free.
And they're talking, Henry Paulson is talking about when they all had to get in front of Congress and ask for the money to save the banks. And Bernanke was really interesting. He goes, we knew we were talking to three audiences. Number one, the people in front of us, the senators that we needed the money from. Number two, the market, because they were getting past notes like how much the Dow was falling like every 15 minutes. He goes, and most importantly, the people of America who were watching. And he's like, so it was really a tough thing to do. But I thought it was interesting. Paulson goes, I just knew it was theater. These guys they're not interested in saving the economy of the United States or saving people's jobs or saving the banks. They are just interested in getting reelected.
Yeah, it's their job, getting reelected.
Well, maybe they could have fucking term limits.
It's become so perverted. And we always talk about Russ Perot. Remember how much he talked about special interests and lobbyists and getting rid of these fucking people? And all anybody did was make fun of Ross Perot. I mean, both parties wanted him the
fucking sound.
Everybody wanted him the fuck out of there because he was just going to shake it up and he had a better way to do it. And
there will be a giant sucking sound.
Lobbies and special interests are not helping us. And they're the kind of people that just cause everything to get mucked up and nothing gets done.
Hey, at least it looks like we might get our first QAnon member to join the House of Representatives out of Georgia. Did you see that lady?
I did not see
that. Oh, my God. She won the Republican primary for some section of Georgia, some northwest section. And she's a full-fledged member of QAnon.
which that's pretty funny. Georgia is going to become Florida.
I kind of want to see her win. Well,
if she makes the upside down okay sign, then we're going to know that she knows what it means.
That'll be wacky.
I did want to just mention, though, that today, and I was just rolling my eyes as I'm watching this because I'm thinking, this is going to be a big deal. You know, this whole defunding the police, Joe Biden's not really on board. Mm-hmm. Is that going
to
be a problem for him?
Explain it to him.
Yeah, you're probably right, Trudy.
What's that, Trudy?
Someone needs to explain it to him, what it means.
Well, but I don't know that he really wants. I think he's thinking, is that going to get me elected? Defunding the police? Is it?
No, but I'm sure that's what he's thinking.
Well, guess what he was talking about today? He was meeting with the NAACP because Joe Biden's trying to do all the right things. And I'm not saying that he's not sincere. I don't know. He probably is. And he sounds like he's open to reparations.
In what form?
I assume it's money. $14 trillion is the number that's being tossed around. In fact, Joe Biden wanted to include Native Americans in reparations. It was suggested to him.
Hey, what about those casinos?
He said he wants to see if studies can find direct cash payments are a viable option. And I'm like, wait, Are you joking? You need to study if that's a viable option? What do you mean by that? Of course it's a viable option. That's what it is, isn't it? Don't people want reparations as in, look, my ancestors and the people after them and the people after them, they got pretty fucked, and you should pay money that should be paid to us. Isn't that, I mean, it's about money. It's not, I mean, I don't think people want bullshit, do they? Don't they want reparations as in financial recompense?
I guess.
Isn't there going to be a lot of very upset? I mean, how do you just.
No, Brandon, believe me, as soon as this came up today, I was like, oh boy, Joe Biden is in a, I mean, this election is very interesting. I don't see how Joe Biden can lose at this point, because I think Trump has been involved in two things that he is just not, there's just nothing in his DNA that prepared him for. And that's not to let him off the hook either. And so Biden, in my opinion, he could safety dance. I mean, he could just safety dance his way to victory, just like the guy in the Men Without Hats video.
Where's Hunter?
But now he's kind of caught up in the defund the police. And today, and I don't know where this will go. Maybe it'll just, you know, go to the moon, because something will happen Sunday and it'll take over and nobody will remember. But you start talking about reparations, it's a very divisive thing. I don't know how divisive it is. Maybe it's not that divisive. Maybe all these people who are so about what's going on, and we're talking about a lot of younger people especially who are out in the streets, maybe they are for this. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. But when he says he wants to study it, I think he means he wants to study to see if his people will vote for him.
Well, he probably wants to study the fact that how the hell can it be done? And the reason I say that is the caller on the Boner line the other day, is it all based on the American descendants of slavery? Because if that's the case, you'll be seeing a lot of people who look white, they'll get reparations because they're maybe, you know, have an African-American ancestor. You'll also see a lot of African-Americans not receive reparations because maybe their families came over here after slavery ended, or they were never a direct descendant of a slave. And then they're going to be very, very upset that they're not receiving the money too.
You know, I know I'm getting too deep into the weeds on this, but okay, if people were cheated out of money, then somebody got that money. And it sort of made me wonder, are there some families that maybe should also contribute to reparations?
The because
they inherited the lots of
George
money.
George and Wheezy?
I don't know. Just saying.
No, that's a brilliant thought.
If somebody was ripped off of money, then somebody got that money. Is that money still floating around through the generations? I mean, that's what is implied.
Take it from all the tobacco companies.
I know there's always somebody, isn't there? Take it out of the porn industry, because there's racism in the porn industry,
well,
too.
No, but I mean, if you're talking about plantations and tobacco farming or cotton.
Okay, yeah, well, that's a start. I'm
on
your team.
That stuff's a little more traceable than people realize.
Take it out of Hanes.
If they do it, out of Hanes. Well, that includes Michael Jordan.
Uh-oh.
When he had his Hitler mustache. I wonder if it would be progressive, right? So does Tyler Perry get the same amount of money as a single mom living in the middle of Atlanta?
I don't think so. I don't think Tyler Perry would want the
money. Well, that's what I mean.
I really
so would
don't.
It be
Tyler Perry seems like just a great guy.
It's almost like a universal income.
Yeah. Well, my GoFundMe would have given people a lot of money. Sure. I'm disappointed. Why isn't anybody talking about my GoFundMe?
I don't know if you ever read that article I sent you about, because you were really intrigued by Asians overcoming the gap.
I did read it.
I mean, a lot of that has to do with giving them the same pay and giving them the money to get on the footing, which I thought was kind of an interesting theory.
Well, all the theories, because I read quite a few stories, all the theories are very broad brushy.
Because you're talking about a group of people.
There's also a lot of people who don't want to give Asians themselves credit. They want to suggest that, well, they were just kind of accepted, and then that's how it all happened. And then then they use the great skills that they have to. If you ask me, Asians have just fucking kicked ass.
That's the fun thing about this. There's so many variables.
Does anybody think? I mean, are there people who think Asians have not kicked ass? Does anyone disagree with the statement Asians have kicked ass?
Are you talking about American Asians?
Yes, they make 20% more than they make 20% more than whites on the average.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to get all heavy about it, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, I mean, you can't, it's really not fair to say anyone all does anything, but I mean, damn it, they've done pretty well.
Well, considering we talked about it the other day, the internment camps.
Internment, yeah, which nobody even talks about it. They don't even talk about it.
Mr. Sulu does all the time.
Yeah, he does.
Who does?
Well, he was in one,
Oh,
right?
Sulu. Yeah, he was.
Oh, my.
Wait, Sulu?
George Takei?
Yeah, George Takei. Trudy, can you handle Dr. Roche? Because we got to get to the phone line and our PSA and all kinds of stuff.
Hey, they're open, by the way. You can go in, but you can still also consult by, like, Zoom or phone it in. All of that, you can still do at the offices of Dr. Roche. They want to sculpt all of those dad bods out there for Father's Day. It's what, 2 weeks away for a week and a half?
Yeah.
And yeah, for Father's Day presents, Dr. Roche can help you out, bring back your inner hot guy with male breast reduction. You can get your, you know, under the excess, the filler in your dad bod, you can have that
you know
trimmed
who needs,
and toned.
You know who needs to have their breasts? Matt Perry. He's got,
oh, I saw
he's
got
oh wow.
He did?
Yeah. I really
How do we know this?
I just saw pictures of him, and I really feel bad for him. He seems like a good guy who really has problems. I mean, real problems.
Drugs.
Yeah. You see, I don't know if it's problems per se. I think he's just rich, and he's just eating a lot of good food right now.
You know, Brandon, I think you're partially right.
Look at these boobs.
He has had a lot of problems.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't seem to really give a shit. Honestly, well, I mean, he seems like he's really about being sober, and he helps other people. He had a sober house. I mean, he really seems like a good guy. I just can't not like Matt Perry, and I used to really not
like
him.
Could I get some painkillers over here, please?
Oh, looks like his nails are really long, too.
Ew, no. Gross. Is that really, is that his, is he Photoshopped?
No, those are his titties.
That's
him. Yeah.
And that belly.
Could I get some painkillers over here, please?
That's the
it
caption.
It
kind
of looks like me.
Look at that picture. That's what he's saying in that caption.
Could I get some painkillers over here, please?
And for anybody that can't see the picture right now, just look at any picture of him.
You know, what's really weird about the Matt Perry story is he drank so much and he took so many pills from the period, I want to say, like 1990, when did Friends start? Was that 94?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah.
Around 94.
During that Friends period, he was drinking so much and taking so many pills that he actually fried his liver. He almost died of pancreatitis, for one thing, but he had some real serious issues. And then he stopped. He went to rehab, I guess, for the second or third time. Had success, and I think he's healthier than he doesn't look it, but he's doing better.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was going the way he was going. But anyway, Dr. Roche could fix his boobs.
His boobs and the 360 lipo that targets male midsections, which is the polite way of saying your beer gut, with Body Tight tightens everything up, stubborn fat areas, also breast implants for the ladies.
You need to get up off your fat ass and lose some of that goddamn weight.
Well, sometimes it doesn't work, though. Sometimes you can exercise your ass and it won't come off. So...
That was more for Matthew Perry.
He can what?
That was more for Matthew Perry.
Oh, I see. Yeah, but Dr. Roche can kind of shortcut you through to a better toner, physique, saline breasts, $3,500. That's for ladies, not for Matthew Perry. Summer Diva, $3,850 and a free G down from $4,500. So a huge significant savings there. The G Shot is also like alone, $1,500. And teleconsultations for your convenience, 248-338-1110 or droche.com.
The other thing you could do to help improve yourself is to shave all your pubes off, especially on your balls.
Yeah.
And you could do that with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. I mean, we've been obsessing over it and just shaving everything on our bodies. The Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to... get rid of all those painful nicks and tugs that you would get when, you know, you're doing some work down there. It's the greatest ball hair trimmer, pube trimmer ever created. It's got that battery, 90, I think everybody knows, 90-minute battery, right? Check. We know that. We know it's got the LED light. Check. It's got the cool plug, too. It's waterproof. Wherever you want to shave your balls, you can take the Lawnmower 3.0. And right now, if you go to manscaped.com, you can get a bunch of other things, too. They got ball toner and just everything. It's anything you want for your balls, go to Manscaped and get it. And right now, you can also get 20% off and free shipping with the code Drew at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. When you go there and buy other stuff at the end, when you check out, just use code Drew. Your balls are going to thank you. You'll have the best balls on the block. And they bring you today's boner line.
Drew, Mark.
Brandon, Trudy, Zoo.
Hello.
After 30 years of listening to you and enjoying you, time to say goodbye. Your podcast fucking sucks.
Goodbye.
I'm calling. I figured out why Drew is yelling at the audience all the time. And now, on the June 3rd show, at 2 hours and 14 minutes in, he's resorted to even yelling at you with a big, shut up! Drew, you gotta take it easy. I'm the globbing up.
No, no, I don't know, wait a second. We shut up. Hold on, shut up.
Shut up, baby dear.
Nothing makes me happier than Hulk Drew. More farts, Brandon. More burps, Mark.
Every time you talk about the unions, every single time, I know what you're going to say. Well, you know about them auto workers who were drinking.
Y'all know me. My name is McManus.
Drew, is there one other instance where you know of where the union,
a union
has screwed over everyone?
I still don't.
Whatever happened to the Q line?
I don't remember.
You guys talked about the Q line every day for about 4 fucking months. A year ago, did the coronavirus take the Q line off track? Did the Q line ever reach Pontiac? What the fuck's going on with Q line?
Who cares?
Hey, I didn't realize that Trudy was into short guys. She's talking about how hot Mark Wahlberg is, and he's like 5'8".
He's just a little guy.
Do
me a favor, just mind your business, please.
So I exclusively listen to the podcast when I'm at work, and I've been off for about 3 months. So I'm finally catching up, and I noticed on the May 7th episode, at 2 hours, 22 minutes or so, when you guys are doing the first Cops episode, the guy that's asking about his briefcase, he sounds just like the fat guy from Office Space who's asking about a stapler.
Listen, I have a briefcase in the trunk. It's a silver briefcase. Can I please have my
briefcase? We'll talk about it here in a minute. Okay?
I believe you have my stapler.
Got an audio separated with Burr, the Phil Donahue guy, and the guy from Big Mouth, gym teacher.
Maybe she went in.
I was rejected from Scientology, so.
And want to lay a couple guys.
Audio separated at birth. June 8th show, around the 1:52 mark, when you're calling the hotel about the threesome, the lady who says, as far as I know, it didn't happen here. Audio separated at birth with the lady who says, get out of my trailer, I want you out.
As far as I know, it didn't happen here. Get out of my trailer, I want you out.
Separated at birth. The lady who says, you about to lose your job. And the lady that says, finest keepers, losers, weepers, baby.
Why are you detaining?
Finest keepers, losers, weepers, baby.
Get this dance.
I got it separated at birth. Bezos, when he's getting ready to shoot. And Elvis Costello.
What?
In Watching the Detective.
Oh, come on. Shoot.
Audio separated at birth.
That's bullshit.
The woman who said Death Wish Coffee makes her husband shit on the boner line. And the wife from You've Had Your Soda for the Day, You Drink Water.
So when I saw Death Wish Coffee at the store, I told my husband I didn't want to buy it.
No, you've had your limit today. You drink water.
I agree with my wife.
Yeah, I got a separated at birth from the June 7th show at 52:48. The guy from Cops sounds just like the guy who's yelling. Is that Rob Walchek? And well, thanks for being a professional customer.
These people are violating my space continuously.
Thanks for being a professional customer. Know what the hell you're talking about.
The Hall of Shame.
You got a audio separated at birth at the 57-minute mark. Mark is laughing like a nerd. And he sounds exactly like Marty McFly's nerd father.
That's why they sell crowbars at the Vince Lombardi rest stop, is to do it safely. Because people were just grabbing people by the genitals.
Right, Scott.
Got a Trudy separated at birth. The May 27th show, 14:58 mark. She got a little Joe Namath.
Did you watch the Brittany Murphy ID?
I did. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
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 June 8th episode, 30 minutes, 10 seconds. Separated at birth. Trudy's laugh with a Jack Black. Oh, she sounds hot.
De-storm damaging, de-fire damaging your home.
She sounds hot.
June 9th, 1:03. Drew says bullshit, just like Tommy Wiseau. In the room.
I did not hit her. It's not true.
This is bullshit.
I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
I would just like to acknowledge one of the pioneers of losing his job because he said something
that the overwhelming majority decided was a bad comment, and that's Brett Musburger.
I happen to pull for people with second chances, okay? Second down and nine.
You about to lose your job.
You fired.
And that's it for today.
Imagine if verbal transgressions against women, objectifying women, were the standard for canceling people.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. That's what Megyn Kelly said yesterday. Megyn Kelly said, okay, Gone with the Wind, cops. What about all the stuff that objectifies women? Because there's some really successful stuff that does it quite a bit.
Yeah, but nobody
cares. Nobody cares.
Well, sometimes, though, that the women are, it's consensual objectification.
But it's a plot. I mean, getting paid to be objectified, who's going to take the money? I mean, if it's a lot of money. Anyway, I want to talk about Rob Walchuk, but that PSA, this is a bunch of Hollywood people who are apologizing for their white privilege, aren't they? Pretty much.
They're taking responsibility. It's called Take Responsibility. I knew it was going to be a failure as soon as I saw that Deborah, Everything I Touch Turns Into a Messing, is involved with it.
How could she be in this?
I don't know.
It's a mistake.
I don't know. But it starts with Sarah Paulson. I'm trying to think of who else is in here.
Kristen Bell.
Justin Theroux is huge dong. Kristen Bell.
Aaron Paul. Stanley Tucci. If you make any kind of objectification, generalization around him, he's going to call you out every time. So I don't ever want to talk to him again.
And if anybody watches the video, watch Tucci's eyes, because you can see he's reading a script to the side of the camera.
What?
I take responsibility.
Aaron Paul.
I take responsibility.
Kesha.
Responsibility.
Oh, Jesus.
I take responsibility for every unchecked moment. For every time it was easier to ignore than to call it out for what it was.
Every not so funny joke.
A lot of voice.
Every unfair stereotype.
Every blatant injustice, no matter how big or small.
You people are terrible.
Every time I remained silent.
Every time I explained away police brutality.
Shame on you.
Or turned a blind eye. I take responsibility. Black people are being slaughtered in the streets, killed in their own homes. These are our brothers and sisters, our friends, our family. We are done watching them die. We are no longer bystanders. We will not be idle. Enough is enough.
I will no longer allow an unchecked moment. I will no longer allow racist, hurtful words, jokes, stereotypes,
who you
no matter
hanging around
how
with,
big
buddy?
Or small, to be uttered in my presence.
I will not turn a blind eye. Going for a jog should not be a death sentence. Sleeping in your own home should not be a death sentence.
Playing video games with your nephew should not be a death sentence.
Shopping in a store should not be a death sentence. Business as usual should not be life-threatening. I stand against hate.
I stand against hate.
I stand against hate.
I stand against hate. I will stand against hate in love.
Many people didn't like hate.
I will make my presence known.
And killer cops must be prosecuted. They are murderers. We can turn the tide. It is time to take responsibility. Call out hate. Step up and take action.
Who are these
There's
people?
No African American. Never mind.
Who are these people hanging around with? My God, terrible people they're around all the time.
Yeah, that was inappropriate to end with Donald Sterling.
Sterling.
I'm sorry.
Actually, here's Sterling.
All those people that are around so many bad jokes and racist jokes and comments, and they've been putting up with them for all these years.
Probably,
it's terrible.
They all done movies with Mel Gibson, or I'm trying to think who the big Hollywood person would be.
I think you're more of a racist than I am.
God, I hope they get it together. That's what a terrible crowd they hang around
that's
with.
That's Donald Sterling watching this. Oh, shucks. Oh, that's the end of it. That's the end of it. So you can link to their other important messages.
I think that could have been a much better commercial
if
it wasn't so dramatic. When you say blacks are being slaughtered in the streets and they're being slaughtered in their homes, I just don't
those
think
are,
police is where I think of them being slaughtered.
No, but those
I
are
mean,
the,
there are. We know there's those incidents, and we've
those,
seen them many, many times.
Those two
horrible.
Specifically are the George Floyd and Breonna Taylor ones. I mean, that's why.
But does everyone think, when you say, no, blacks are being slaughtered or people are being slaughtered in the streets. I mean, if you said George Floyd was slaughtered in the street and you said she was slaughtered in her home, it's just, it's too much. And when you say shopping is a death sentence, shopping is a death sentence? Really? I don't know. Did, I mean, did you find that, do you guys find that effective or do you find it to be like, oh,
no, I think the whole thing is a little, overly dramatized. And frankly, I don't care what any of those people think.
No, I don't. And by the way, they've been saying this stuff forever. I mean, it's not new for Hollywood to speak out, but it seems to me it's always overdone. And, you know, if you watch the, let's go back to Me Too. When the Golden Globes and the Oscars were turned into nothing but a Me Too speech, lecture, where they basically say the same thing over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah. And basically, it's everybody that just won an award. That's their new speech.
Brandon?
Do you think at some point it will, like, resonate outward? Is it going to make any gigantic difference to hear that?
No, I don't think so. I think when you say I'm against hate or what did they say?
Yeah, they're against hate. I mean,
against hate. Who is for hate?
I don't know.
I mean, let me ask you something. If you are a hateful person and there are hateful people, are they going to see that and be and say, "Oh, there's a lot of people against me"?
I don't think it solves the inequality problem that I believe is the biggest push. I mean, I don't know, though. I'd love to hear from, some of the members of the movement, some of the protesters, what they actually think about when they hear stuff like that. It's just empty words.
How many white Hollywood people are in that commercial? Why are we hearing from white Hollywood people? Why the white Hollywood people? Why not speak to, if you're going to insist that Hollywood has to lead us out of this morass,
because they're taking responsibility.
And it's funny because, yeah, like that first part of that video where they're all saying, I take responsibility. It keeps shifting, kind of like what I do in the boner line, just chopping people's, comments up there. It really kind of seems like they're like Jesus Christ died for your sins. It's like these celebrities have taken responsibility for all of our sins.
Well, to me, it seems like they've done some really shitty things.
God, they're terrible.
They turn a blind eye to
them. I think all of them should be investigated, frankly.
It seems like Stanley Tucci and Justin Theroux used to sit around and tell racial jokes all the time.
Day and night.
Not anymore.
Year after year.
It sounds like they've laughed at a few too many racial jokes, too.
I think I just sort of crystallize it in my head. I don't want to be lectured about racism by white people. I don't.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know how a white person doesn't feel awkward lecturing someone about racism. I think it's a little, if you're calling somebody out for doing something terrible, that's one thing. And I don't mean like the woman that asked about your home being broken into, and this person has to go, "Well, that's your white privilege speaking." No, she's asking a fucking question, okay? Can you just answer the question? Do we have to break down every fucking thing everyone says?
So here's the interesting thing. It's been partnered with the NAACP, so they've put their blessing on this.
Maybe it'll be effective. I have my doubts.
So far, 75 thumbs up, 983 thumbs down.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Well, everybody's so divided.
This is why I'm so mad. No, I don't think people are divided. I think they think the message is dumb. I bet most people watching it probably say, "Well, duh. I don't like hate."
Yeah.
But the reason why it's all white people, though, it's because those are the kinds of things, hearing jokes and just being like, ha, 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 that kind of thing, letting those.
There are plenty
sorts
of racial
of
jokes
things
from black people, though.
I think those people enjoyed being part of the lecture, and I think they enjoy flogging themselves and acting like they are really going to whip every ounce of racism out of themselves.
I think you're more of a racist than I am.
But Deborah Messing again, what a terrible person to put in that thing. Jesus, she turns everything to shit.
I know. I can't believe she would even be allowed. I feel like nobody's been paying attention to her lately. What a disaster she is.
Well, all the symbolism, whether it's NASCAR saying no more rebel flags,
or some great
people taking
Have you read any of the tweets responding to
Yeah. No, of course, there's fans that are all pissed off.
There's the one driver who no one's ever heard of, Ciccarelli or something like that, Dino Ciccarelli's brother. And and he's like, I quit. I'm done.
I know where this is going. Next thing, I'll see a black mechanic. Then there'll be a black crew chief. Then there'll be another black driver out there. And then the fans will be black. I know where this is going.
A slippery slope.
He says,
What did he think he was proving?
I don't know. Here's his statement. He said, well, it's been a full, fun ride and the dream come true, but if this is ever the direction NASCAR is heading, we will not participate after the 2020 season is over. I don't believe in kneeling during the anthem, nor taking people right to fly whatever flag they love. I could care less about the Confederate flag, but there are people that do, and it doesn't make them racist. All you are doing is fucking one group to cater to another, and I ain't spending the money we are to participate in any political BS, so everything is for sale.
Well, good luck racing somewhere else then, dick.
I just want to know if Gander RV
I've never outdoor, heard of this guy.
If the Gander RV and Outdoor Truck Series has responded to that.
It's not, yeah, it's another thing. It's the truck series. It's not even like it's the one with, NASCAR. All the famous.
Not the real NASCAR, yeah.
Well,
I want to know what the funny car guys think of this.
He also only has one top 10 finish.
Yeah, and he says, he's a loser.
No win, no pole.
I just keep going back to all these symbolic things, like the NASCAR thing and the statues.
But that,
and
that, the
there's
NASCAR.
So many of them. But if nobody who's in charge does what they need to do, and by the way, with protests going on for 2 weeks, wouldn't you think something would be fucking done by now? How long does it take?
Law moves slow, but statues are one thing.
Yeah, the law moves slow. This has been going on for a decade and a decade and a decade. This has been going on forever. How fucking long does it take?
Don't you think NASCAR, though, doing that actually does send some kind of message to some people?
Yeah, symbolic message, and that's good. Yeah. That's okay,
it's
but I'm just
big
saying.
What if
NASCAR, much like our government, went, well, you know, we got to study this and we got to find out. No, you just fucking do it. Just like the chokehold thing. Why is it? And I saw,
you think
I saw
the federal government's going to do anything right now.
No.
Yeah.
And that's my complaint. That's why I say, you know what? Just vote them all fucking out. Just send a message to the people that we put in charge that when the country wants something, they want it now. They don't want to fucking wait and hear you go back and forth and divide the country and, you know, overstate your case.
With service. And,
it's just bullshit. I'm tired of bullshit. Because this is nothing new. And all these people who are suddenly, oh, my God, I've opened my eyes. And I looked in the mirror and Jimmy Fallon got educated and Hannah B., she got a teacher too. Are you fucking kidding me? Really? Do people believe this? That people just suddenly realize there's some problems out there? Because I don't believe them.
I don't believe them either. Are you telling me Fallon didn't know? Hannah B., maybe.
Fallon's been called out for his blackface.
Oh, I know.
Fallon, multiple times.
Fallon seemed like total pandering.
Yeah, he's got those crying writers. Those writers either were not crying about Norm MacDonald, or they were not crying about Jimmy Fallon, or they were crying about both. But he didn't admit they were crying about his blackface.
Yeah. See, the NFL's donating $250 million.
Wouldn't that be great for my GoFundMe?
Over 10 years. Well, yeah, and that's the question is, where does the money go?
Well, I'm sure it's some program or initiative. And, I always want these things to work. By the way, I looked up Head Start. We were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
That's like $14 billion has been spent on Head Start.
Hmm.
And how much did Head Start help?
I have no idea.
Wasn't that in the statistic?
Oh, Trudy. I think, can't we pretty clearly say that education has been a pretty big failure in that regard?
Yeah.
I mean, how did Head Start held? I mean, is Head Start, is it going on now and it's working, but we just don't know yet?
Yeah, they're still in business. Absolutely.
I'm just saying, they've spent billions and billions of dollars on Head Start, and I'm just not aware that, I haven't heard shit about it. But, I mean, we have programs like that we pour money into, but some of them are outright failures, and they'll admit it, and the programs get shut down sometimes. It didn't fucking work. But when we were talking about Head Start the other day, I was just wondering, I was just thinking, how much money have we spent on Head Start? Because I'm not really aware of it being a big help.
I don't know. My aunt used to be a Head Start teacher, and she did not seem like she did any difference.
Head Start was putting minority kids in school sooner, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that the idea?
Yeah, to give them an edge, catch them up.
Why are minorities graduating in such smaller percentages if we're pouring all this effort into it and it's working, then wouldn't that number be closer to where everybody else is?
You know what they brought up the other day? The fact that poorer neighborhoods have more exposure to lead. Mm. And I thought about Flint, but when they took lead out of gasoline, that helped a lot of people and lessened crime to a degree, too.
Lead causes crime?
Lead causes crime because it causes a loss of cognitive ability, and then, you know.
Well, yeah. That's interesting. That's something I haven't spent a lot of time on, but I will. No,
abortion, too, they claim, in Freakonomics. You know, that's a very controversial thing.
Yeah, that helps.
Once it was legalized, too. Roe versus Wade.
Abortion did what?
So you get rid of, this is the theory behind Freakonomics. Once it's legal and able to do, they saw the big drop of crime in the early 90s, which sometimes gets attributed to Clinton's bullshit crime bill. Mm-hmm. And they think, well, that's the age where...
God, all this talk about abortion is making me super wet.
That's the worst drop. Oh, my God.
We got to get you and that monster that's in your gut down to Mexico ASAP.
What?
So he brought it up, Mark.
I am very sorry, yeah.
So you can play those drops.
What movie is that from? The first one.
With Will Arnett. Is that...
It's a skit.
Is that from Tim and Eric?
Yes, it is. It's definitely from Tim and Eric because it's the same one where basically you get him saying,
"Hang on, let me just ask my boner." Oh, yeah, he's playing with it. Whoa. Check it out. It's a sex machine. Oh, God. I can't believe my dick just barfed that much.
It's really gross thinking of a dick barfing. That's what it is.
Gets even worse mileage than a Hummer, and the backseat's big enough you can perform an abortion in it. Yeah, when you perform as many abortions as I do, which is a lot, because I love them.
Jesus Christ, help me. So the reason this education thing, it's really funny when something like this goes on. You know, there's a lot of well-meaning people. There's a lot of well-meaning people in our audience who run and they go, you know, until we fix the education thing in the inner cities, this, you know, we're going to have problems. People are going to have less. They're not going to do as well. And, you know, you can't really say, no, that's bullshit. We've been talking about education, yeah, how shitty schools are in the inner city forever. And, you know, when you look at Detroit, Chicago, New York, well, at Minneapolis, I don't know. Remember when we looked up all those inner city schools and we were trying to determine were any of them successful? And we found like three and we were like, oh, wow, Kansas City does pretty well. Hey, what do you know? But they're such a monolithic failure and no one has any fucking answers. And it's just, it's crazy because, you know, I can tell you how many times this comes up since I've been in Detroit. Is, oh, we got to do something for the schools. And I absolutely agree. Getting kids an education is absolutely critical to their future. It's critical. And we failed so miserably at it. And yet, you know, that's just, I mean, that whole topic seems like it just went to the moon years ago.
Well,
it'll never work.
There's still a lot of fighting to have free preschool, free kindergarten to make sure those kids get in there because you don't have to be enrolled in school till first grade.
Well, that's Project Head Start, isn't that what that's all
well,
about?
Well, Head Start, I mean, Head Start's a multiple faceted thing. There's early Head Start, that's the new one. That might be what you're talking about.
But what, you know, what do we do about all the truancy? Nothing. Every year.
But I've always thought, you know, fuck those kids. If you don't want to go, too bad. Let's focus on the kids that are there. But they have to spend so much time getting kids to show up for count day.
Well, what is so, money. But every year when count day comes up, they always give you the truancy numbers.
I know.
And they're ungodly. It's like, wait a second. Why? I thought you had to go to school. I mean, this is really naive of me. I guess that's my white privilege. I thought you were supposed to go to school. I thought that was the bare minimum in life, was to show up to school until 12th grade. No, graduation rates are going up. If you look at, well, particularly if you look at white people, high school graduation is now very common. It's like 91%.
Yeah, so much so that undergrads really don't mean as much anymore.
No, an undergraduate degree, God.
That's become the new high school degree.
So, when I see the truancy numbers, and you see that it's not just 12th graders, it's 10th graders, it's 8th graders, it's 7th graders. What the fuck? Have anyone ever seen a truant officer? Do they really exist? Because,
movies.
Truant officer. Don't just school. The truant officer will get you. And it's like, there are no truant. Isn't that a
boogeyman?
Yeah, it's fake. Truant officer. They'd be so busy in Detroit, they would die of lack of energy.
Isn't that another job they just handed off to the police?
Probably. That's probably where they come from.
It's another job. We'll just make the police do it.
Ferris Bueller, it was the principal.
That's true. Mr. Principal Rooney.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Jeffrey. What's that creep's name?
Yeah, the pedophile. Jeffrey.
I like the way you always find the answer in a movie, Trudy. Always. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, isn't it frustrating? And I remember the big literacy movement in Detroit. I swear to God, that was probably, I can't remember how many years ago. It was probably over 10 years ago. It was like, we are going to make, I forgot the goal. It was some really lofty goal of making all the adults in Detroit literate. And all these people volunteered. And, I mean, the list was endless. Public figures, all of the usual people, the very sincere ones and the ones probably latching on just to say they're doing something. But nonetheless, and a lot of money went into it, too. And then when I was reading about literacy numbers, this is a couple of years ago, but they were talking about, why Detroit neighborhoods aren't better.
Yeah.
They're saying that, you've got all these adults that are illiterate. It's very hard to change your circumstances. And, the kids don't always, the education message is not a big thing in a family that has illiteracy. And I don't know, I'm like, well, what happened to that big program?
What did happen to it?
Not much. I don't know. I really don't know. I think I looked it up and I believe it ran its course or something.
It wasn't funded? Yeah.
No, I think it was funded. It was a big deal.
Administrators got it.
But that's that's what I mean about programs. It's and all these donations to programs. I swear I really in my heart of hearts I feel like just give money to the adults, help them own a home. Why can't we be more pragmatic instead of always feeling that there's some learning involved and we'll set up a program, we'll have a study, we'll have a focus group, and we spend. I mean, we throw insane amounts of money. And by the way, a lot of these cities. Most of them, many of them, Chicago, Detroit, Minneapolis, they're very democratic. They're very progressive. They're supposed to be for those people.
Sounds like you're warming up to the idea of a universal basic income.
No, I want my GoFundMe.
Well, what's wrong with that? Just send universal basic income.
Basic income?
Like, cut a lot of the overhead for a lot of programs.
It's been tried, but I don't think necessarily. I mean, a GoFundMe is a one-time thing. Universal income is, you're talking like $1,000 every month, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's been tried. I mean, I know there wasn't much success.
Has it been tried for a long enough period of time? That's the big question.
I think the problem. Because I read about it, because you were talking about it. Was it in Norway or Sweden or somewhere?
Yeah, they gave up after 6 months.
Yeah, they felt it was not working at all. And I think they thought it was, what's the term? I think they felt that a lot of people lost their thunder when the money came in, weren't as inspired to go out and make their own money or make more money.
Well, that's their prerogative then.
When you give money, I mean, my GoFundMe.
I mean, if you were making
start my GoFundMe?
If you're making $1,000 a month and then the government gives you $1,000, yeah, there's going to be some lazy fucks that just go, all right, I'm still good with $1,000. But there's going to be a lot of people that are like, well, I'll keep working and I'm making double that.
I feel like, honestly.
And then you get rid of the programs and a lot of the overhead and people, taking their tithes from it and all their cut.
You know what excites me is when I read about, like, Dan Gilbert has this entrepreneurs group. Mm-hmm. And all these young people who are just out of college or whatever, and he helps them, people help them get started in something that is, has a growth opportunity and can trickle down to other people who work for this person if their idea succeeds. It just seems like we...
You know how he can afford to do that?
Every way to attack this, it just seems to fail.
He can afford to do that because he bought the Hudson's property for one fucking dollar. I mean, there's got to be an incentive for businesses
Dan Gilbert is a successful entrepreneur. Okay, his loans for Hudson's didn't work out.
No, and I you know, I tend to believe.
By the way, why can't he get a loan from Hudson's? What's up with that?
What do you mean, for the Hudson's building?
Yeah, why can't Stan Gilbert?
Probably could get a loan.
He's a little short of cash.
Probably could get a loan.
Well, why doesn't he?
Because he could buy it for $1.
But I thought he was unable to get the construction loans.
So
couldn't he just sell something?
Maybe. Maybe it's not a priority for him.
I don't know. He could sell Quicken Loans.
I don't know why people get mad at him, right? Sell the Cavs.
Sell the Cavs.
Once again, it's priorities.
Dan Gilbert's done pretty well.
I think you'd rather have the Cavs or the casino.
I'm not just trying to point out Dan Gilbert, but there are a lot of people like that. Dave Bing is a great example. Dave Bing is a fantastic guy, and I was really excited to meet him when Charlie had him on. And he works with young people. I mean, people that are really trying, and it's just too bad there isn't more emphasis on that than, you know, programs. And then you have overhead, and it's a salary to people. And, you know, it's supposed to be...
There you go, universal basic income. Get rid of all that.
but people still need to know what to do, or, you know, maybe they just need some help. And there's no crime in that.
No shame in your game.
Yeah. Hot dog.
Where's that guy, by the way?
Good question. So let's see. What else happened today? Terrell Owens is leading the march for Cap.
Cool.
Colin Kaepernick.
That's great.
That's important that they owe him a job. I don't know how that's going to work out. Is it really appropriate to have a march for Colin Kaepernick?
No.
Does he need a march?
I think T.O.'s a little misguided there.
Are a lot of people going to go to the march for Cap?
And didn't he invoke his fraternity? And they were like,
yes, he did.
You have nothing to do with this. One of his T.O.'s fraternity?
I think he did reference it. Let's see. There was, yesterday I was asking the question, and nobody seemed to answer or agree with me. I feel that it seems that the desire to cancel people is a white thing. Cancel that white asshole who doesn't get it or who has a stupid tweet and we've seen examples of it all week long. And boy, Vanderpump Rules, what a racist operation that is. Jeez. See, they had to blow somebody else out?
Wow. Yeah, good.
God, I'm glad they're gone.
In fact, I saw another story today about this is funny when shows intersect. It's sort of like the Green Hornet being on Batman. 90 Day Fiancé's Ashley Martson, she wants Vanderpump Rules Jax Taylor fired for his comment about her black husband.
What? I can't even follow that.
Ashley's on 90 Day Fiancé. She married this black guy named Jay, who, by the way, was on a dating app the night they got married. Okay, I'm just throwing that in there.
All right.
And anyway, Jay, they're back together, Jay and Ashley.
Great, good. I'm happy for him.
And Jax Taylor from Vanderpump Rules made some racist comment about Jay.
Why doesn't the voice just stop after the episode airs? Why do we have to keep hearing from these people?
Become social media stars.
Can you imagine that, like when reality TV first started happening, if we knew we'd hear from like Susan Hawk would have a Twitter account we'd have to follow and a podcast Hatch.
Eventually, they just kind of go away, they?
I don't know, though.
It takes a long time. Hasn't it been one of my biggest complaints is that these people, these twerpy stars that show up, they just never go away.
The only reality show guy that's ever gone away is Joe Millionaire.
The one guy I'd like to have
around. I know. The one guy we want to do a podcast or see what he's doing.
So as I'm watching all these people get canceled, and you know, honestly, I really don't like people being canceled, but it does seem that, I don't know, this is really funny. Maybe you guys can look into this and see what I'm talking about, but Ice Cube.
Oh, yeah.
He is tweeting some really anti-Semitic stuff. I mean, really bad.
He's also rapped about plenty of it, too. So I guess it only counts when it's on Twitter.
This apparently, well, you know, people don't go to Ice Cube looking to screw him over. I mean,
I
don't know why audiences are always trying to expose something to the audience who'd be most offended. I mean, isn't that what people like to do?
Yes.
But with Ice Cube... he's got this a few tweets that are really pretty brutal, and one of them is, for example, Jewish men playing Monopoly and they're on the backs of black people. You know, the implication being that they have stolen from black people, I guess. A little anti-Semitic. And there's a few more, and so I'm reading. Brandon, did you look into this at all?
There's not just a few more. There's a lot more. No, he's been on a... he's still tweeting as we speak. He's just been on fire all day long, just tossing out all these memes. And yes, a lot of people are getting very upset that a lot of them are very anti-Semitic, including shots at the Star of David, which he's, you know, putting out there as a huge conspiracy to you know, against black people. And
is it because, and I don't know. It's, is it because of what happened with Jerry Heller 30 years ago or 25 years ago?
I have no idea why Ice Cube feels the need to do this. It's obviously terrible. Yeah. It's terribly anti-Semitic. But the funny thing is, if there has to be something funny about this, first of all, people started saying, he was hacked!
Oh, please.
And he came on and said, I was not hacked! Yeah. These are my tweets! And so I start reading the comments to him, and they're like, well, Mr. Ice Cube,
Mr.
You know,
Ice Cube.
I think that maybe what you put out there might be considered a little anti-Semitic if you're Jewish, especially. I mean, the complaints are really nice complaints. Like, you know, maybe you ought to take that down. And it's like the comeback is like, fuck you. Yeah. But no one does that when it's some idiot from Vanderpump who say, you fucking racist, you're finished, dox him. So my prediction is, Ice Cube will not be canceled. And I don't want him canceled.
Canceled from what?
Canceled.
From what? That's
from everything.
He doesn't do anything.
He does movies. He does music. He does all kinds of stuff. What do you mean he can't be canceled? You can cancel anyone.
Okay.
Well, am I crazy?
He won't be. No, I'm just mean it's not like he's on Vanderpump Rules and will be kicked off the show.
Well, doesn't he? What is, I don't know. Is I don't he know making what, movies?
I don't know. I don't know. Not a big
babysitter
Ice Cube.
Maybe not make the third babysitter movie.
If Ice Cube had the tweets that he has right now and he was white, which is a ridiculous thought, it would not be in question. He would be canceled. And people would not be nicely reminding him that his tweets are kind of shitty.
He's currently filming Last Friday, which is...
Yeah, there you go.
Is that Friday number something. Four?
Which isn't that his movie? So I guess that'll just go straight to DVD.
Well, people could refuse to, they could refuse to buy it. They could refuse to show it. They could do anything. They do whatever they need to do when they want to cancel somebody, whoever they are.
Sounds like you.
No, I said I don't want to cancel Ice Cube. I don't like canceling anyone. I just think it's kind of interesting that, I mean, what does he, maybe, if I could talk to Ice Cube, I'd say, Ice Cube, can we find out what you have to do to get canceled? Can you ramp it up a little bit? Because I would like to know what he has to do to get canceled, because... Brandon, I guess you saw it. It's just this never-ending stream of horrible shit. It's all directed at Jews. So
it's currently, I'm serious. I think it's still going on because right before we started the show, I wanted to look into, I don't know, something, and I went onto his Twitter page and he was just spouting off more and more. And it's weird because they're memes. He's just throwing all these memes.
He should just play a death certificate where he offends everyone on there, including the African American.
Jewish people aren't usually real shy about not liking anti-Semitism. I mean, the Holocaust was not that long ago. So, interesting. Very interesting.
When's this guy going to get canceled? Here's his new tweet.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly.
Never.
Well, I've been spending most of this day watching the Charles...
Time out. He played a cop.
Yeah.
I want him canceled. I want O.J. Simpson canceled. And I also want ML Soul of Detroit canceled for playing the theme song of Police Squad in the most recent episode.
I have news.
Continue, Mark.
O.J. Simpson will never be canceled. No. Just saying.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Well, I've been spending most of this day watching the Charles Schwab tournament, the first live golf tournament in quite a while. Fuck? And the lack of a crowd is
doesn't
seem to have an effect on the players. They're putting some low scores out there. I always thought the crowds helped the professional golfers because when they hit a wayward shot, it hits
Does
a fan
really
and
think
it stays
people
in
need
play.
To hear this?
When I hit a wayward shot, yeah. I'm all
He's the
way
voice
out
we
the
need
weeds
right now.
trying to find the ball. Well, anyway, the lack of a crowd don't seem to be affecting the players negatively. Guys are calling
this
me
is O.J.
saying,
Simpson.
Can they play football?
Murder
crowd. And I said, I don't know. My first thought is the money.
Okay, so where do you think he's going with this?
don't know, but I like the idea that he wanted people around so they could hit them with the balls and they'd stay and play. That's a total juice idea.
Yeah, who cares about the...
Are they social distancing the crowd? Is that what he's saying? Or nobody just got, nobody's going?
He's on to the NFL now, though. So what do you think the question's going to be in OJ's mind?
Let's see.
He just said something about
It'll be about kneeling, maybe?
No, about the money.
Oh, about the money?
Now, just keep in mind...
You mean if they don't have crowds...
Yeah, keep in mind, where does the NFL make most of their money?
TV deal.
Okay.
But they make a lot. They make plenty otherwise.
Millions and millions of dollars come from those tickets. And the player's salaries, in part, are based on the money that the owners bring in. And are the owners going to eat that? Or are they going to tell the players they got to take a cut in salary?
No, because it's a percentage, juice.
If they don't have a crowd. I got a haircut
today. Is this from 3 months ago?
Before I went in, they took my temperature and... I noticed they had taken all the chairs out of the barbershop, so they'd call you in from outside to get your hair cut. Now, they can't do that at a football stadium, you know.
Why not? Wait.
Will the play?
Why can't they take your temperature when you go into a football stadium?
I think they might. I don't believe that they won't do that.
Why wouldn't they? And they'll hand out a mask.
Still coronavirus.
Anything to get playing.
To miss the fans. I, for one, was pretty much oblivious to the fans. My concern was on those 11 guys trying to get me.
Well, that's the important thing.
The only time I ever became aware of fans, I remember the first time.
Was when I saw this white chick I wanted to nail.
My first year I played there, we were at Notre Dame, and when we got to one end of the stadium, I couldn't hear the quarterback calls because I'm 7 yards back in the eye formation.
I'm looking at all these chicks I want to fuck.
And body was making so much noise.
In row three.
We got to the end zone that I just couldn't hear them.
The fuck are you talking about, Juice?
I don't know.
How many likes does this have?
Social distancing? How do you do it at a football stadium? I'm just saying. Take care. Can only hope.
So the important thing is Juice got a haircut today.
He's got a hook. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hello, Twitter world.
I love that I'm just saying hook.
Oh, Juice.
Fucking maniac.
The Juice.
Ooh, I have an amazing ability to block stuff out, just like that time I was killing Nicole. Everything went black. I had tunnel vision right on her neck.
I thought it was really strange that after he was acquitted, he wanted to do nothing but play golf for like the first 3 years. Like, yeah. I killed these people, but I got away with it. Now I just want to get my handicap down to about a zero.
Well, you know, it's a great distraction when the world's caving in on you. Just go hit the balls.
Not a lot of people around there when you're out there golfing.
I'm just saying.
But O.J. Simpson. Major League Baseball today said Rob Manfred. Is he the commissioner now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said that there's going to be opening day, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, good luck with that.
In 2020. And there will be players playing. And if they don't want to play, they won't play.
Well, did you see what they... I thought I read that they agreed to instead of that weird... way they were doing it.
Oh, the tiered pay?
Yeah, instead of the tiered pay, they're like, all right, we'll just do prorated pay.
Oh, so they're going to pay them whether there's crowds or not.
Yeah, but they're going to prorate it. So in other words...
That's what the players wanted, I thought.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, so the owners are going to take... They're going to eat it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which they kind of have to. I thought that's what I read. That's kind of what they have to do.
I think all this bullshit, though, in these players' unions is that we want our share of the pie. And well, the pie just got smaller.
Yeah, that's what they're getting. Which why shouldn't they?
No, they're not taking a share of the pie. They're getting a share of what the pie would be if those games were played with fans, right? Isn't that what you're saying?
With fans. Yeah, I thought that's what I read is that it's going to be, prorated.
So
you're not going to get your full salary, but if you play half a season, you get half of it.
Yeah, the players are not eating any of the revenue losses.
I guess not. No.
So that's interesting how that works.
They don't have. They don't have collective. Do they have collective bargaining? They just have the luxury tax. Yeah, because there's no salary cap.
No, not in baseball.
So it's not a percentage.
And, okay. Well,
we'll see if it happens.
Anybody got any good plans for the weekend? I guess
not. Well, unfortunately, I have a funeral to attend to. I lost my Uncle Bob yesterday.
Aw.
Good dude.
Sorry, Brandon.
How old, Brandon? Yeah. How old was he?
Pardon me?
How old was he?
He was 66 and he struggled with pneumonia and COPD. No coronavirus, but hit the family pretty hard. So tomorrow and Saturday will be filled with that, which, you know, it sucks when, and a lot of people have experienced this because of the coronavirus or just any death that's occurred during the quarantine, is you can't console your family. You can't give them a hug. You got to go to a funeral home and wear a mask, and, you know, only 10 people allowed. So a lot of sympathy for people who've lost people. And Uncle that Bob sucks. Was a good dude. He was a good man. He even had a tryout for the Tigers back in the early 70s.
Whoa, really?
Was he your mom's brother or your dad's brother?
He is my mom's brother-in-law, my mom's sister's husband. He had his three fingers missing because he cut them off with a circular saw when he was like 18.
God. Wow.
And then he had the Tigers tryout. And he tried to hide it, but they didn't like him not having fingers.
That's kind of hard to hide.
It would have been such a legend. Sue him. Made
well,
it.
No. Jim Abbott sue did him. It without a hand.
That's a violation of the ADA.
Well, that's a better story than the incel guy that was going to bomb the hot cheerleader party and he blew off his hands.
What?
Did you hear about that guy?
No.
Google incel blows hand off. Did anybody see that?
Cool.
No one saw that? Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. The picture of him, he's got all this shrapnel in his face in his mugshot.
I saw the mugshot, yeah.
Yeah, he went to the hospital and said, I got my both hands caught in a lawnmower because it blew off one hand and it blew off a bunch of fingers on the other hand. And he was going to blow up a bunch of hot cheerleaders because they won't have sex with him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a great mugshot. It's a beautiful mugshot.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
That wasn't my Uncle Bob.
Would you think, this guy's 23, right?
Yeah.
Would you think that guy couldn't get laid? He looks normal.
Well, I don't think it's a physical problem. I think he's probably got no game.
Yeah, he's probably socially awkward.
I would think a guy with no game that looks normal could still meet somebody. But
I mean, he should just use that move where he puts his hand in his pants and then makes a girl smell it and go, do you like dick or pussy?
Oh, the Don Lemon move?
Don Lemon move.
Yeah.
That works, right, Trudy?
No.
No, what?
Certainly not.
What? You mean you shouldn't have like
Trudy would not go along with that, no, even as a joke.
Gross. I'm going
to sniff anybody's fingers.
Don't ever sniff anyone's fingers, ever. No matter who they are or what you're doing.
That Larry Flint drop just makes me sick.
This dude, his face is
right. Larry Flint.
Who was he talking about with that?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
I can't find it.
On the upside with the incel that blew his hand off, he's got something to talk about now.
Yeah, he's got an icebreaker.
He looks fantastic now.
Yeah.
Have you seen Flint lately?
Oh, Larry?
Yeah, he's really svelte. He looks really good.
Svelte. He's been working out.
He must be. Or they're working him out. He looks really good. I mean, he looks in shape. He might have gone to Dr. Roche or somebody.
Dying.
I've never seen him look better. I'm serious.
You mean
whatever Larry Flint's doing, I want
post.
Some. Larry! Cut it out, Flint.
Hey, Derek St. Holmes on Monday, yo.
Oh, pumped, because Derek sings some of Ted's biggest songs and sings the shit out of them.
Hey, baby.
And he goes around.
Is that his big one?
Yeah, hey, babe. That was I think it's my favorite vocal on any of Ted's songs. It's an awesome vocal. But he's got a lot of, you know, we should Google that. What does he sing lead
on? He's
got
his own band, too.
I think it's Stranglehold. He's got a little side action with this Detroit singer. A blues singer in the city. Well, actually, Doug was telling me she's New York, but she's made Detroit sort of her home.
Where's he playing?
They're going to try to get the token going at some point. They were telling me about that today, how they're trying to knock down walls and stuff like that, make it more spacious so that they can spread people out. Which is kind of good, right? Business is sort of thinking out of the box.
Well, there's a big article. I want to say it was in the Free Press. And it's funny. It's one of those things where they talk to people. I'm like, I know him. Like Dave Clark from Live Nation and Willie Wilson from The Bag, where, you know, Live Nation is really saying, this is what we're going to do to possibly have some kind of shows. You know, they're kind of lobbying the government to say, hey, these are health plans in place. And then Willie basically was like, we're going to take our time with this here at The Bag, which I thought was interesting. It's a good article. If anybody wants to read it, we'll link it.
Derek sang on Hey Baby, Just What the Doctor Ordered, Dog Eat Dog, Stormtroopin', Cat Scratch Fever, and Stranglehold. Those are huge songs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's on. I mean, he does mostly lead vocals on a couple albums, and he's got a great voice. And I know Ted loves Derek. I mean, Ted thought he was... Well, Ted has always surrounded himself with good players.
Ted,
good
singers. Yeah.
Ted had Meatloaf singing for him before Meatloaf was Meatloaf.
What?
Yeah, Meatloaf sings a lot of songs on one of Ted's early albums.
Never heard that before.
Yes.
Wow, those two are kind of...
I know, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Let's see, I'll find out. Meatloaf.
Hey, and Party at D's this weekend, too.
Oh, D's having a bash?
Yeah.
And we're going to play this.
Does D like the fact that drop gets played every time she comes up?
She's cool with it.
D's
How's D doing?
He's good. She just came back from the Outer Banks.
Let's see.
He's nuts!
Carolinas? Like Carolinas?
Yeah.
Really?
She travels a lot.
Yeah, I see her post all the time.
She's going to get corona.
Let's see. Did you know, before Meatloaf's career exploded with his mega hit from Bat Out of Hell, the singer had made the rounds in various projects in the studio and on the silver screen. It's a safe bet most music fans know Meatloaf played a role in the iconic cult film The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's see. The band, Meatloaf was practicing on various musical projects. One of Meatloaf's first bands, a group called Popcorn Blizzard and Floating Circus. The band actually had opened up for some of classic rock's most legendary groups, including The Who, Stooges, MC5. He eventually recorded an album with one of the former cast members of Hair, blah, 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 blah. he sang lead vocals on the Free For All album.
Really? He did?
Holmes had already recorded a few tracks with Ted Nugent for the album. It was quoted as being unhappy with the artistic direction of the record when it was being produced. The album's producer contacted Meatloaf, asked if the singer would come in the sessions and sing lead on some of the album's tracks.
3, 5, 6, 8, and 9. So that's Writing on the Wall. Wow, that's a lot of them. Street Rats, Together, Hammer Down, and I Love You So I Told You a Lie.
I got to hear Meatloaf on a Nugent song. That sounds strange. But that album did well. So yeah. There.
Ma, the Meatloaf!
You know, with restaurants being open again, did I mention yesterday that Mesa hired 9 people? 8 of them are no longer there.
Wait, what?
8 of them are no longer there.
Wait, they lasted like
2 days.
Why?
Well, not all of them lasted 2 days. Some lasted 1 day. Some, I think, lasted 3 days.
Oh.
Because they make a little more money. They make just a little more money for working.
Yeah.
And so there's just not a lot of incentive. And it's busy. It was real busy. I mean, Monday was crazy, which is great. I mean, there's a line to get in and, you know.
Is that a little short-sighted of them?
In my opinion, it is. In fact, we have like 7 or 8 people who have been there the entire time. And they're like the Super 7. Mm. Hoo-ah. And they're all really hardworking people, and they like working with each other. And it's weird how that worked out with that group. They all wanted to survive, and they wanted to help Mesa survive. And
I saw that Mesa has those little things at the table, so you don't have to have menus.
Yeah,
to scan with your phone.
Yeah,
there was an Australian restaurant that did it. And when you scanned it, I thought, of course, well, this is a news story. It's going to go right to porn. Instead, it goes to a Scientology informational pamphlet.
I don't know why.
So then I was like, God, I wonder if Drew tested the Mesa ones or if they're going to go to some kind of sign.
I'm sure they're tested. Mr. Riley's heavily involved.
So then I thought, wow, you guys should just switch them and have it go to the show.
Hey, that's a thought. I just turned my brain off with all that stuff. I know Matt's got it under control. All right, well, let's get out of here and get our weekend started. Our strange weekend. Do you guys like the Thursday-Friday weekend, by the way? Trudy doesn't really have a real weekend. Brandon and Mark, do you like the Thursday-Friday?
One day, so.
That's true. Well, before LaDuff, did you like the Thursday-Friday weekend?
Yeah, I did, actually. You mean a Friday-Saturday weekend?
Yes, yeah. What am I talking about? Friday-Saturday, exactly.
Yeah, I did, because you can get a lot done on a Friday with other people that are open for business.
That's true, but I miss out on a lot of family stuff on Sundays.
Exactly. That's another reason I love it. I'm just kidding. God forbid if the family heard that.
I feel like Sunday was always a sucky day because you're going back to work the next day, and it just sort of, I always felt shortchanged by Sunday. It just didn't feel like
Sunday
Funday
with these idiots.
But Brandon's right. You do miss out on a lot of events.
But Saturday.
And golf.
having Saturday off when you work Sunday, Saturday doesn't feel like the old Sunday. It still feels like Saturday to me. I don't know why. I mean, that's dumb. I fooled myself.
Yeah.
I fooled myself into considering that I have an extra day in the weekend when I really don't. And on Sunday, I would be feeling shitty anyway.
Why don't we do Sunday through Wednesday? We'll do it like night TV shows do, and they record two episodes in one day.
Oh, cool. Great idea. Thought.
Oh, I have to get something off my chest. It's not actually getting off my chest. It just sucks so bad. Is it Layla died last Friday? It took me a week to even say it on the show. I was so bummed. Oh, don't even ask. It's just the worst, most awful story you could imagine. Yeah, and oh, man, I miss her. I don't know what it is about dogs. Yeah, they get in your heart. And, man, is she missed. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just taking it a day at a time. Anyway, we'll see you on Monday.
See you.
Bye.
Come on up here, Layla.